is on. The three best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the news junkie for a Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. And lots to get to today, from Stephen Hawking dead at 76 to school walkouts underway across the entire United States. And whatever you do, stay away from this contagious woman. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Happy Bay Day.
Hello, Sabrina.
Good morning.
What, Bay Day?
I'm sorry, I meant Hump Day. No, I meant Bay Day.
What's Bay Day?
Pre-sale started for On the Run Part 2.
God.
Got me my tickets.
Can you get it all out now? Get it all out.
No.
Get all the Bay Day Beyonce tour stuff all out of the way.
No, it's just starting, man.
No.
It's starting now until August 28th. When they arrive to this town, and then I throw up and pass out at the same time.
You're going to drive people crazy with an incessant Beyonce talk every day
care.
Until this show.
Yeah, it's okay. It's going
to
be awesome.
Why not just take the platform and just get it all out there?
Because there's just so much to deal with emotionally that I can't put it all together in one segment. But, you know, I'll write it down. We have plenty of time.
Yeah, lots to get to today. A lot of stuff happening, including these high school and middle school walkouts.
Oh, they're already starting.
Yeah, across the country. They started at 10 o'clock here on the East Coast. So, like I was saying the other day, this is brilliant strategy because every time a new time zone hits 10 o'clock all the way across the United States, that means right now in the central time zone, the schools are pouring out into not the streets necessarily, but into the schoolyards, the students are pouring out, and that's going to happen again with Mountain and then with Pacific and then even over into Hawaii. And throughout the day, you're going to have all these moments, and it makes for an excellent photo opportunity for all the TV stations. They love this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They love to get a chopper up and see a big old crowd of kids and go talk out to them or speak with them. I'll see here right now that's WLS, so you're seeing Chicago. As students walk out there, they're in the middle of some track area. New York City, the students who walked out at 10 are still out at 11, so that one spreads a little bit further. And it continues on through the day. Lots of stuff happening and lots of interviews with the students, just to give you an idea of what some of them are saying. Here's one of the interviews from a student participating in this walkout today.
I think that there shouldn't be gun violence. I think that we should have universal background checks. And I'm just mad that there's no action by our government representatives. It's all thoughts and prayers. It's all talk. It's a seasonal speech where after a gun violence tragedy, there's a speech talking about how we need change. But there never is change. And on both sides, I think both sides agree that there needs to be change, and that it's not okay what's happening right now.
Is one of the students.
And if you have a message to the Parkland victims, what would you say?
I want to say that keep fighting, keep making your voices
heard. We stand with you.
We stand with you. Keep making your voices heard, because while the politicians might stop talking about this, we're not done.
All right, there's one of the students in New York, and as I said, they've got people out there. Boy, they have a bad feed there in New York on CNN right now.
Yeah.
It's a little bit blurry. It's like the lowest bandwidth you can get on Periscope.
They're Skyped in.
Are they?
Something like that.
It's not connected well. You know why?
Why?
Because I bet a lot of those kids in the crowd next to them are on their phone using up the data in the area, and they can't get a good connection out. But all over the country, this is happening right now. What are the students doing? What are they protesting for? Well, many of them want a ban on assault weapons. Many of them want universal background checks before any gun sale, a restraining order law that allows judges to confiscate the weapons of people who show signs of violent behavior, such as domestic abuse. Those are some of the things that many of them seem to agree on here. And besides maybe the outright ban on assault weapons, most of those are very popular. Even assault weapons bans get a decent amount of polling numbers when they do that. Who's participating? Students, teachers, staff, they're out there, but they seem to be very, very peaceful so far. It's just kids getting together, the gathering around, they got signs out there. It looks, in many cases where you can see the footage, like the schools have put stanchions around to keep everything nice and safe and keep an eye on things. They got stages up. Everything is good. And it's participation in government for these kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even if you're somebody who's like, I am a huge Second Amendment, NRA supporting, whatever.
Yeehaw.
Right? No matter who you are. And I support the Second Amendment. I support people's rights to own weapons and defend themselves, et cetera, et cetera. But even if you're way further out there than I am, if you look at this and get angry at it, I mean, these are kids, young high school and middle school age kids participating in the process. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're doing what many kids never do, get involved in politics and try to have their say in what's happening in the system. And so that's what they're doing today. Many of the schools are in support of this. There were some schools. I think we talked about a school, had to be a couple of weeks ago now, a school that said they weren't necessarily going to support this and maybe that they would even punish some of the students. So I'm sure there'll be some of those stories tomorrow. But there you go. Eyes on that as each time zone hits. Right now we've got one going, and they're still going in Washington and New York. And I think outside the Parkland school where all of this started, it's Stoneman Douglas. And then on to Mountain and Pacific times as the schools follow suit there.
And Florida, where are we at with the new Sunshine Protection
Act? Oh, God. I don't know. This is difficult to say. Are the students are out now? Well, either way. They'd be out because we're at 11 o'clock when it started at 10 o'clock on the East Coast.
All right.
So even if we're in our renegade time zone.
No, everybody's with us now.
Everybody's with us?
Yeah.
This is still
so
too
confusing.
Much. Everybody's with us for now, unless this. I don't know. Let's leave that where it is. It's almost like the new version of the doomsday clock.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way you just try to get into it and you go, oh, good
I
God.
Think I understand the doomsday clock more than I understand the Sunshine Protection Act.
Probably. A lot of the politicians are the same exact way. Speaking of the politicians, Florida lawmakers did have a shot at some legislation that would assist in the violence you see with guns in this country. And for the second year in a row, they failed to pass a gun. Well, they call this a gun loophole. There was a bill that was put forward that I thought could have been interesting. And it suggested that anybody who knowingly attempted to purchase a firearm when they were a convicted felon and unable to have one of those weapons and lied on their background check form could be punished by the law. If they lied, if it says on the gun check, the background check form, have you ever been convicted of a felony and you put no, you're now lying in something that would be penalty of law, and they couldn't even pass that, unfortunately.
There you go.
So there you go. That's that. They tried that out, and for the second year in a row, the lie and try bill failed again. We'll see what kind of conversation is had with these students out today. MTV and all the Viacom networks went dark for 17 minutes.
Oh, really?
At 10 o'clock. And they were doing that in tandem with the protests that are happening and so much more stuff going on. But let's talk about something good for a moment before we go to break.
I'm ready.
Because today is a good day. What day do you think it is today? You guys know? Are you aware?
Today is National Pizza Day.
No, that's closer than you might think, though.
Ooh. National
Meatball
Alcohol?
Day.
No.
No alcohol.
It's got to do with the date itself. What's today's date?
Pi Day.
Pi Day is today, March 14th, 3.14, Pi Day. So everybody gets in on the Pi Madness. We have a Blaze Pizza around here, right? I think there's one in Disney Springs.
Possibly.
I believe so. And if you go to Blaze Pizza today, you get a pizza for $3.14.
Nice.
Go to Bojangles, you get three sweet potato pies for $3.14. Boston Market gives you a free chicken pot pie with a purchase of a pot pie and a drink. Look at all these people helping out.
Helping out.
CC's.
Making money.
They say purchase one adult buffet at the regular price. Get one for $3.14. Hungry Howie's, you get a one-topping medium pizza for $3.14. And there's a bunch more. So there's a lot of stuff out there where these places are being cutesy, tongue-in-cheek, and celebrating Pi Day! Today's Pi Day. Celebrate it with us. Lots to get into, including the death of the famous physicist Stephen Hawking, what his last words were, and his warning to all of us. Plus, your dispatch is next. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Occupying the space between high society and prison tattoos. This is the News Junkie. I will probably understand, but believe me, I-
to start with this, but you know what? It was going to happen eventually. And unfortunately, we have a death kicking things off today on the show. Stephen Hawking, dead this week at 76 years old.
How do I say goodbye?
Oh, it's a special one for him.
It is.
To what we have.
Hard to hold those
Wow.
The good times that made us laugh outweighed the bad.
I hope so.
Oh, pal.
Still a better singer than I am. 76 years old, Stephen Hawking, the world-famous theoretical physicist who said a lot of things that I just flat-out didn't understand.
Same.
I would listen and try to poke through at what he was talking about when he got into black holes, Sabrina, or I don't even know. The theory of how everything became what it is now, I didn't understand.
I'm familiar with his work on Family Guy.
Yeah, he was very good there. Very, very good there. And he had a little cart and a voice that you just heard where he was singing
right.
that
yes.
song. And, uh-huh. and of course, he had Lou Gehrig's disease, which was his least famous thing to have,
yeah.
I think. Or at least favorite, I guess, at the very least. ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, motor neuron disease led to his paralysis and health complications over the years. Unfortunately, this is the week we lost a very brilliant man, Mr. Stephen Hawking.
Fatality.
His family confirmed the passing in a statement, sharing some sweet words about their father and a loving quote from him about the universe. Here's what they parted on. We're deeply saddened that our beloved father has passed away today. He was a great scientist and an extraordinary man whose work and legacy will live on for many years. His courage and persistence with his brilliance and humor inspired people across the world. He once said it would not be much of a universe if it wasn't home to the people you love.
Aww.
We'll miss him forever. And I don't know, did you guys ever see, Celine, you watch Stephen Colbert every once in a while, don't you?
Sometimes.
He had a show where he had on Stephen Hawking. And he asked Stephen Hawking, maybe you can find this.
See,
you can find it real quick. Stephen Hawking and Stephen Colbert, because he asked him, hey, is all these parallel universes exist out there, according to you. And he goes, is there one where I'm smarter than you, Stephen Hawking? And Stephen Hawking, I guess you would probably have to send him the questions beforehand, obviously. He wasn't typing out his responses in real time, so he was ready for it. But he had jokes. And I don't know if he had writers or
wasn't he known to have a bit of a sense of humor?
Yeah, he was funny. He was funny. Or if somebody who was writing stuff for him was funny. I think he might have just been a funny guy. And sometimes to be in that position, sitting all paralyzed and overcome with ALS, you got to have some kind of different, brighter view of the world. See if you could find that, Celine.
I'm looking.
He did leave us with some warnings, though, and the guy was smart as hell, so we definitely better heed these.
Warning.
Well, I mean, warnings about humanity in general.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Well, do you have a humanity in general warning?
That is one that I have not downloaded.
Because people need to know about this.
Warning, warning.
There we go. Stephen Hawking's final warning to humanity. Legendary physicists believe we must leave Earth in the next 200 years or face extinction. Yeah, that was just months before his death.
What do you mean, leave Earth?
We got to get out of here, he said.
Where are we supposed to go, Stephen?
We're going to have to go to Mars or anywhere else because we could have an asteroid that hits the planet. We're going to have some kind of cataclysmic failure in our society. We've got climate change happening. And with all this going on, he says we need an exit route. There must be somewhere for us to go. Did you find that, C-Lane?
I'm looking, I'm looking.
Oh, good God. I'll just ruin it. I'll just spoil it.
Say goodbye.
So sad.
So nice that he was able to record this before.
Well, he had some time. He lived very long for a person with ALS.
Yeah, considering.
They don't usually make it that long.
Now, do you think that has anything to do with the amount of money he had? Or
yes.
How smart he was?
I think anybody with a debilitating disease like that, that has a lot of money, definitely lives longer. If you had like a correlation thing between income and terrible diseases and life expectancy, that would be a pretty big change there, I think.
Yeah, but was the quality of life there?
He enjoyed himself. Yeah, that's a fun. There he goes. Stephen Hawking. We'll never know what he said to Stephen Colbert. I know.
Couldn't find it.
He said to Stephen Colbert during an interview, he goes, is there a parallel universe where I'm smarter than you? And he said, there's even a parallel universe, Stephen Colbert, where you're funnier than I am.
Oh.
So, took a shot at him and always had a sense of humor until the end. Let's go to some dispatches. Why not? You send your messages through the News Junkie app, and we play them right here. We'll see what's on your mind. Let's go with Jay Flo with a dispatch.
I'm neck deep building the solar field in North Carolina. I've got an army of green shirts walking towards me. This can only be good, right? Anyway, listening to y'all on iHeart.
That sounds weird.
What's happening?
He's building a solar field in the middle of somewhere, and he's got a bunch of green shirts walking at him. I'm not sure exactly what it means.
He's in trouble. He's about to be arrested.
Maybe there's going to be a follow-up at some point.
Aliens?
Let us know, Jay Flo. We'll go over to Mumbles with a dispatch.
Got to hand it to those kids out there standing up for themselves, the new voices of this country. You know, back in Kent State when there was violence with the police, it's kind of weird to be going through this cycle again, but this seems to be more organized, smarter kids, more organization.
Your popcorn is ready.
I know, it sounds like
just
it.
Just be safe, y'all. All you can be is vigilant. Have a great day here.
All right.
Beautiful.
Have a sip of water, please, Mumbles. You'll be okay. Yeah, the students taking to the streets, and there's protests across the country that continue, not just this week, but there's more to come. Including there's a big event in Washington in the next month or so, I believe, as all of this effort that started at Stoneman Douglas is what Mumbles is referring to, spreads out throughout the country. Here's ex-soldier.
Okay, so I wanted to bring this up. I was listening to the podcast from yesterday, and I was wondering and noticing all about this time traveler crap, and then you said one thing that the guy said that made me think. One of the things he said about being able to connect with anyone in the world with just your mind.
Telepathically. He's talking about from yesterday's show. And if you don't listen to all the days of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast. Search for The News Junkie wherever you listen to podcasts. And ex-soldier's talking about yet another person. And they all just go to this same YouTube channel. Yet another person who purports to be from the future, this time in the year 4000. This cab driver, and again, to a T, they all have no interesting information to unveil to us. And this one is from the year 4000 and says we all communicate telepathically, which is almost obvious, I think, at that point. We're already working on stuff like that.
Kind of made me think of a collective, like Star Trek. The Borg was a technological advanced species that assimilated any thing that was an organism that was like human, any kind of species, and turned them into machines.
Oh, I'm totally distracted now because he's made me think of what I started watching last night, and I forgot where you guys are on this, but I'm in, man. You know what I'm talking about here?
X-Files.
Oh, no. Not X-Files.
The carbon thing?
Altered Carbon.
I haven't watched it at all.
Ooh. All right. Everybody has been talking about this and recommending it. Finally, I decided, let me check this new show on Netflix out. And Netflix doesn't make it that easy to find this because I go, I remember everybody saying this, but I can't remember the title of the show. So I'm scrolling, going through all the top shows, recommended for me, Netflix originals. Finally, I find Altered Carbon and started watching that. It's complicated. It's kind of like what he was saying. It's a futuristic society.
It's cool, though.
This is the first time I'm hearing of it.
You never heard of Altered Carbon at all?
I have not.
Oh, man. It's very, very cool. And there's actually, in the news today, a startup company that's doing something straight out of Altered Carbon, the Netflix original. This accelerator company is known for supporting audacious organizations at their boot camp. It's Y Combinator, and there's a company they're supporting right now called Nectome, and Nectome promises to preserve your brains.
Yay.
I don't know if Stephen Hawking did that. Maybe it's too late for it. But there's a problem. Mm. They say you can upload your mind to their service, and they'll figure out what to do with it later. But it's 100% fatal because you have to be euthanized before you can actually get your brain backed up to the system.
Yeah.
I volunteer, is true.
Yeah, so, nah. Yeah, a little harder, I think, to get where you want to get.
Is that even legal?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it is now. Maybe they're just preparing for all this stuff. Nectome is a preserve your brain and upload it company. Its chemical solution can keep a body intact for hundreds of years, maybe thousands, as a statue of frozen glass. The idea is that someday in the future, scientists will scan your bricked brain and turn it into a computer simulation.
How do you spell Nectome?
N-E-C-T-O-M-E. That way, somebody a lot like you, though not exactly you, will smell the flowers again in a data server somewhere, which is just weird. Weird, weird, weird to think about. One more real quick. Here's Bloodmouth, who's been in trouble on the dispatches lately. Keep it clean.
Sean, I don't want you to ban me, man. Please. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
I didn't know you couldn't say BH on the radio.
It wasn't that.
I'm sorry.
It was something else.
Oh yeah. Also, can I get in on this Muffin Lady raffle off thing?
All right, we're not raffling off Muffin Lady, and I'm not dying. I'm a little under the weather. I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna pull out on the other side of this.
Pull out.
Yeah, it does.
Take a quick break. Back in just a moment. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Yeah, we don't like you either, but it's a really easy way to keep up with all our contests. Facebook.com/Real Radio Orlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC.
Real Radio.
Because you're never too old to learn something stupid. This is the News Junkie.
We'll get some more of your dispatches in just a moment, which are very helpful for the whole crew around here. Myself, Sabrina, and Celan, we're all kind of dying a little bit this week. We're hopping along. Just making it through.
Barely.
So we appreciate your dispatches, people talking about Stephen Hawking and the school protests and all that stuff in just a moment. I'm always interested by these regional sayings, mostly because I get caught up in them. I don't know how. I guess it's just because of my mom. Because my mom grew up, spent her whole life until she was in her 20s in Vermont. And so in Vermont, there's different sayings and, you know, there's regional phrases and regional sayings that they use. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones, I'll say them on the show.
Didn't you say dew licker this week or something like that?
No.
Something with a D.
Dew dicker.
No, I said dough dicking.
Dough dicky.
Dough dicking around is something that my mom would always say. But that one's in a, I can't explain what that means and why that's a futile endeavor when you talk about that. Too many details get us in trouble here with that one. Just imagine.
Wait, does the female deer have a useless member?
No, you're thinking about a female deer as opposed to doe, like doe in your hands.
Ah, yes.
And if one, all right,
got ahead. It.
All right, so had the radish is one that I've said on the show before, and I think you guys ridiculed me for being a weirdo. Nobody says that.
The what was the one about the cows? I think there was another.
The cows out of the barn.
Yeah, if your zipper is down, you don't want the cow to go out of the barn.
Warts and all was
warts
one
and all. Yeah, I mean that one's so commonplace. You guys are the only two people that didn't know that one. That was just
not true.
Everybody was in on that one. But sometimes you hear people say this. Now, have you guys ever said something like that? You guys spent most of your time growing up in Florida. I think all your life growing up in Florida, both of you. But did you ever say anything where you go, man, that's a saying, and my family says it all the time, and when I just said it to this person, they had no idea what I was talking about. I mean, for instance, would be some of the stuff your family does for holidays. Sabrina, when you first told me about the holiday tradition to get the suitcases and run around the house, or I had never heard of that before in my life, but you thought that was just a thing that everybody kind of did.
Yeah, at least in the Latin culture. Now, I will say, growing up in a Spanish family, there's a lot of Spanish phrases.
Like what?
I mean, none that I can say on the radio.
They're all curse words, though?
Yeah, yeah. That might, they love to curse.
What about the chancleta thing?
Chancleta was something, but I feel like a lot of people are aware of that. I will say, growing up in a Spanish family, all the American phrases, mm-hmm. once I introduced them on the radio, for example, I learned that I was saying it wrong.
You were screwing them up somehow.
People were unaware of them because it made no sense. Like, nip it in the butt.
Nip it in the butt? No. Yeah. I mean, that's a tough thing because there's probably some translation gaps that happen, and then your mother or father share it with you with a little twist to it, and you think it's the right way to say it there. And until somebody corrects you, you have no idea. Did you ever have one of those weird, like, regional colloquialisms?
Not that I had to explain to people. But when I would go out of town, my mom had family in Ohio. And there, you don't ask for a Coke. You ask for a pop.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They say pop. Not soda pop. Pop.
Did you ever go there on vacation and sort of pick it up like it was cool and come back and be like, to your friends, you guys want to go get a pop?
Nope, I thought it was dumb as hell.
Yeah, didn't work for you?
Babe has a lot that I've learned. Like, you know what a buggy is?
No.
Yeah, that's a cart at the
store.
A
golf cart?
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, a shopping cart.
A shopping cart is a buggy.
And what else did she say?
Pop was not one of them. Man, they're all escaping my head now. There is...
My mom had old ones. Like, she would go, get out of Dodge. Which is from Gunsmoke, like a super old TV show.
They call each other's children kin. That was something, yep.
That sounds old and southern.
Her father says cotton picking.
Like, I don't need any of these cotton picking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about Sabrina's girlfriend. She is from north of us, but is way more southern.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the Florida thing is sort of an oasis of not south in the middle of what should be the most south.
You don't get to the south until you get to very northern Florida. That's when you get to the south. We're like tropical land down here in Florida. You know, we're in a totally different world. And I waved my hands as I said that. I don't know why.
You look like a palm tree.
Like a crazy inflatable flailing arm man or something. Mm-hmm. That's how I'm viewing this southern part of Florida. But sometimes you say stuff and people go, I've never heard that phrase before. The reason I bring all this up and go through this whole journey with you is because Joe Theismann was on a sports radio station this week.
That's a fun name.
And Joe Theismann, previously famous for telling a woman on television that he wanted to kiss her.
I remember.
Kiss you. and saying some other things whilst drunk on television. He mixed up a couple of things here. All right, I've heard of people saying, that one's going to be a tough nut to crack.
Okay, yeah.
You guys have heard that?
Mm-hmm.
You've heard people saying, oof, that one's going to be a hard pill to swallow.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard those ones.
That's unfortunate.
And then we got this.
It's a 3-year contract. I would have expected 5 years. That way Minnesota could have been able to prorate the money a little bit more, make it a little bit more palatable to be able to go get things that they feel like they might need. But when you look at this football team, it does not have a lot of great needs other than at the quarterback position. So,
okay.
You know, Kirk's deal is what it is. I mean, it played out the way he wanted it to. He's had a football team that wanted him. It's not the Redskins didn't want him, but I think it would have been a big nut to swallow with all the free agents we have.
So,
oh, man.
I don't know if people say big nut to swallow. Imagine they're talking about just like a giant peanut that you just can't get down.
It's a choking hazard.
You're just gagging that one down.
That is the worst mix-up.
Yeah.
It's
unfortunate.
My friends were playing ping pong in the garage one time, you know, doing the big back and forth, good volleys. My roommate, Beaver, very good at ping pong.
Yeah.
His opponent, also very good. So it's a good matchup. And after a particular volley, this one of the people said, he went to say, oh, man, good comeback. And for whatever reason, his brain scrambled mid-phrase and just forgot to say back.
That's it.
He just said good, and then that the
he
one
just said, hey, yeah, man, good come.
It would have been a big nut to swallow if you said it the way Joe Theismann said it. You're probably mixing up some things. And again, talking about a variety of different peanuts.
He is the winner of the month.
I've mixed up phrases before, but it's never been to the point where it makes a new phrase that's even worse.
Yeah, that one's pretty bad. That's a bad mixture of two. Let's talk to, let's see, hang on. Oh, hold on. Ceiling just grabbed the line I was going for there.
Uh-oh.
There we go. We'll go to Davis. Go ahead, Davis.
Davis.
Davis, are you there? No, Davis is listening to the radio. He's making the cardinal mistake. Sorry, Davis.
Maybe his name's not Davis.
Journey didn't last long together. He still should have heard me just screaming in his general direction. All right, let's see. Brett, go ahead.
Hey, I'm just in from out of town, and I haven't listened very long. But I do know sports, and it's Joe Namath, not Joe Theismann.
It was Joe Namath who did. Well, you're talking about.
To correct you. Yeah.
You're talking about who hit on what's your name on television, right?
Yeah, he was drunk and he was trying to kiss her on TV. Yeah.
All right. Well,
so Namath, but Theismann.
Yeah, that was Namath. Theismann's the guy who said the thing you just heard. There's two of them and they both play football. I don't know football. All right. So now you're mixing up two different things.
Hey, man, I've never heard your show before, but no sports. So
oh,
I know
my
you
God.
Just screwed that up.
Yeah, I don't even think you have to know sports to know that was wrong. Why do the lines just light up? It's a different Joe. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, the correction crew. And full of, it's a different Joe.
Get your sports right,
Joe,
man.
Theismann said it would have been a big nut to swallow. It was a different Joe that did the thing. He said he wanted to kiss the lady on TV. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate it. Appreciate all of that. Let's go over to Corey. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah, how's it going, man?
Good, go ahead.
My mom's from Alabama, and I grew up calling conditioner cream rinse.
Wow. So,
that's what she said?
Cream rinse.
Yeah, exactly. Shampoo and cream rinse.
I have never heard cream rinse before.
None of my friends knew what the hell I was talking about, and never able to live it down. Long story short, I'm in therapy for it now.
Yeah, it's had a negative impact overall.
You have great hair.
Was there anything that said cream rinse on it, or did your mom just call it that?
I've never seen anything with cream rinse written on it, man. And if I was bad, she'd also go tell me to pick a switch.
Oh, go out in the backyard, like break off
I've
a
heard
stick?
That, yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that one too. Yeah, I've seen people in the South that you, and I thought, I was like, boy, that seems like the most Southern thing ever. That use mane and tail. I thought that's what he was going to get into. Like mane and tail shampoo.
Now, according to Wikipedia, there is a difference between cream rinse and regular conditioner.
Yeah.
And that cream rinse is a merely a detangler, which conditioner does, has a thinner consistency than conditioner, as its name implies.
Is there a difference, according to Wikipedia, between Joe Theismann and Joe Namath?
Plenty of differences.
There's difference. All right. All right.
One likes to kiss. One likes to swallow.
All right. Well, now we know. Leslie, go ahead, Leslie.
Hey, I've been listening a long time. This is my first time calling, so yay.
Thank you.
I'm from Mississippi, and my grandma has the best phrases ever. She says, like, if she's tired of you talking about something, she'll say, enough is enough, and too much is a dog's bait.
Too much is a dog's what?
Bait, like B-A-I-T. I have no idea what that means.
All right.
I'm 37 years old. I have no idea what that means.
What else did she say?
If somebody's a really good singer, she'll say, oh, she can sing from way back yonder.
I don't even know. I like when somebody says that, and then they can't even properly explain it. Like, enough is enough, and the rest is dog bait. And then you go, what's that mean? And they go, I don't know. Everybody just said it.
You just know how to use it in a sentence, but you can't define it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it means. It's just something we say. Let's go to some more dispatches. Oh, Jay Flo's back. Last we heard, there was green people headed his way as he was laying a field of solar panels. It was all very confusing in the dispatch. Maybe we'll learn more.
It's so much more boring than getting arrested. The army of green shirts is just a high-vis green that you have to wear on the job site. And generally, when they're walking my way, it's a problem. So it's a fantastic week, but we'll get it built, and everyone will get their solar energy, and everyone is smiling.
That's good. They say high visibility green? I thought they always use like a orange, you know, like it would use for a vest for a crossing guard or something. Or yellow. Sometimes they use yellow for hunters and stuff. High visibility green seems, that's like the colors in camouflage.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a place where nothing is green, and then the green really sticks out.
He's building a solar field.
Maybe he's in the desert or something?
Could be.
That would be a good spot for it. Here's Thuggy D.
Sean, I I just got my Secret Show subscription yesterday.
Oh, thank you.
Pretty excited about, you know, catching up. I want to hear all the F's and the S's and all the GDs and everything and the hard T's. But, come on, man. I ordered this yesterday. I still don't have my sticker and magnet yet.
Oh, God.
You got to get on this, man. Come on, express shipping. Why aren't you hand-delivering me my magnet and sticker?
I mean, Secret Show magnet is on the way.
What kind of service is this, man? But thank you, and I appreciate it, and I can't wait to look forward to it. Later.
All right. Thank you, Thuggy. Can't wait to look forward to it. It's all right there and ready for you. And when you sign up for Secret Shows at GetSecretShows.com, you dive into all of the uncensored shows right there on the app. For those of you new to the show, maybe you're just from out of town and you know a little bit about sports, calling to yell about Joe Theismann. Maybe that's what you're doing. And you're going, what is Secret Shows? Is that where they talk really, really in depth about sports? No. Secret Shows is the uncensored shows we do. We kick out one or so each week, and you can listen in the app if you sign up at GetSecretShows.com.
Absolutely.
Enough is enough, and the rest is dog bait. That means it's about the amount of food on your plate. If you've had enough to eat, no need in overstuffing yourself. Enough is enough, and the rest you leave for the dog.
The rest is just the dog's going to eat it?
That's right.
Yeah. All right.
Whooping soccer.
That's what? Whooping soccer?
You don't know what whooping soccer is?
No, not until now.
Very popular American phrase.
What does it mean?
I have no idea.
There's also lots of hands make light work, but many mouths make empty dishes.
Where are you finding these right now?
The man who dances plays the fiddler, or pays the fiddler. Damn it.
Oh, you're screwing this up.
You're a...
My mom would have nailed that.
Dudinkus.
What?
You're an unspecified object. Dudinkus.
No, I deserve that, especially with the sports mix-up this segment. When we come back, I want to talk about this story that's got a lot of people talking. And it's surrounding a United Airlines journey that one family went on. United Airlines, not really kicking ass in the publicity department as of late. They got a lot of things happening on those flights.
Like the last 2 years.
Yeah, they've had a lot of bad press, and this is among the worst that I've seen for United Airlines. So what exactly happened on this flight? How was it handled afterwards? And how will it impact you, possibly? All that coming up in a second. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. From Real Radio. The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie. I'm American dream, the water. I'm America, I want your life.
I'm America, I'm your daughter. Nobody left me. What the hell? All right, this is one of the weirder things I've seen in a while, which is why you definitely have to check this out on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. This is why I love this, Sabrina. I love the idea that when we find something crazy and it's a visual thing and we can't just pop up something on somebody's dashboard or on their computer in front of them, well, we make it so we can with the See It Now section of the News Junkie app.
Technology is awesome.
It is fantastic. And that is something that you get only on this show. So there's a lot of trends in weddings that I've seen happening. In fact, I know a guy who lives in Tennessee, and he's been married for a long time. And he's like a punk hippie guy, an artist, and so is his wife. And they got married a while back, and they had the whole traditional thing. Like, he had a gold ring, and she had a ring with a diamond on it and all that. And they got rid of it. And there's some program out there where you can get rid of your wedding rings, and then they give you, like, this sort of recycled rubber kind of thing.
Yeah, I've seen that before. I've seen it before, but not because people have given up the wedding rings, but they'll wear that when they're playing sports or they're at work, because if you lose it, you could just order another one on Amazon.
Oh, that's a different thing. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about a different thing. Like, remember when Jimmy Fallon almost ripped his damn finger off?
Yes.
Like, that's what that's supposed to prevent, because it's just like a rubber ring, and it's for people who are playing sports or doing interactive things, and they don't want to rip their finger off. But this was a way to kind of dismiss the idea of diamonds and traditional jewelry. I don't know if you've seen some people, Sabrina, will even get like a tattoo instead around their finger.
Yeah, Beyonce and Jay-Z have that.
Oh, did they do that? Great. Yeah. I walked right into that. And then now this. And, man, this is tough to look at. And I guess this is something that is growing in popularity somewhere. They say the trend, which is reportedly growing in popularity with millennials in specific in recent months, involves getting a single diamond implanted into the skin of the ring finger.
No. And
see, right there, or wait, which one? Right there, you get this one here, right? Which one?
That is your index finger.
This
dude.
One here
yes.
is the one where you get. I'm that far away from getting married. Never going to do it. This one here is the one where you get like a studded diamond into the top of your finger.
That is asking for an infection.
Yeah, and the one in the photo that we're putting up kind of looks like it's infected. Don't do this. Just, I mean, go traditional, go with the rubber thing, go with a tattoo, do anything but this.
You've seen I don't even know if it's considered a body mod, but it was a trend for a very short time, thankfully, that you would get studs, like, direct, surgically put into your body. Like, I had a friend of mine who had a diamond stud put into the back of her neck.
You're pointing, like, right below your hairline in the back of your head there.
Yeah, and then people get it on their face.
Oh, I've seen, the cheeks and the face thing.
It's called a dermal.
Yeah, yes.
Basically, this is a dermal in your finger.
Yes.
But and if your body doesn't react to it properly, It'll reject it or just eat it and grow over it. And you'll lose a diamond in your body.
Well, I had a eyebrow ring piercing when those were so cool.
I mean, almost did.
Yeah, almost for a bet he did. See, Lane, almost had it.
Wow, you guys are both cool? together on that. Yeah. Cool's not the word I'm looking for.
I had an eyebrow ring piercing, and it did the same thing. It just works its way out. And the part where it's pierced gets thinner and thinner and thinner because your body rejects it. This is like
for good reason. An eyebrow piercing, come on, boys.
Your body is rejecting that one for two reasons. This one, it might just be because you're not supposed to put a diamond in your finger. But take a look at this. It's on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. And if you're new to the show, we always get new listeners all the time. Just go to your app store and search for The News Junkie. Download the app, set up your account, and then when you hear us talk about things on the show or the podcast or whatever, you can take a look at it and enjoy the ridiculousness yourself. Because they say diamonds are forever with a new engagement ring piercing trend. Hopefully people aren't doing this in mass, but that's what they suggest. It's really weird looking, and it looks like you would get that so easily caught on something and just rip it off completely.
And people lose engagement rings all the time. Imagine losing one diamond that is just popped out of your skin.
Good luck at the bar with your iPhone light finding that thing on the ground somewhere. Check that out in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. The United Airlines story is what a lot of people are talking about. And this is something that United Airlines has confirmed, that a dog died on board a flight from Houston to New York on Monday.
Fatality.
This is an unfortunate story. There's no gory details or anything. So, I mean, don't be freaking, you're ruining my day. It just, I'll give you the around the bend details here. They said this flight from Houston, New York to New York was going on. Flight attendants requested that the passengers who had this dog keep the dog in the overhead storage compartment. I've never heard of that in my life.
The flight attendants are the ones that said that? I saw the story, but I thought maybe it was the passengers. I know it was a little girl it was her dog. She was 10 years old.
The toddler.
It was the family's doing. It was the flight attendants said.
The family was a young girl, a toddler. The young girl was the one who, I guess it was her dog, then a toddler, and then the mother. And hold on, here's some more details on a report from this morning, because United is confirming that this happened.
He was a really special dog, and it's just sad how the way he has to just leave.
For 11-year-old Sophia Ceballos and her mother Catalina Robeldo, Coquito, a French bulldog puppy, was a part of the family.
We took him everywhere we went.
On the United Airlines flight from Houston to New York's LaGuardia Airport Monday, Robeldo put her dog in this carrier, but struggled to get it under the seat in front of her. The family says a flight attendant insisted the bag and Coquito inside go in the overhead bin.
My mom's like, it's a dog, he can't breathe there. And she's like, it doesn't matter. She felt the dog and she put him up there.
So you're on the plane, they shove the dog's cage in the overhead bin and snap that sucker down, And that's not meant for animals to be in. And I guess the family just kind of went along with this. I mean, they were upset. They're saying, wait, you can't put the dog up there. The dog can't breathe up there. But they did let the dog go up there.
Family says they heard Coquito barking for 2 hours. Aww. Then he stopped. They wanted to check on him, but say they couldn't.
We tried, but like there was a lot of turbulence, and we weren't allowed to stand up.
When the flight was over, they found Coquito had died. A fellow passenger posted this photo of the puppy, saying, "My heart broke with theirs as I realized he was gone."
Jesus.
My mom was crying. She was like, screaming at her, looking at him.
In a statement, United says this was a tragic accident that should never have occurred, as pets should never be placed in the overhead bin. We express our deepest condolences.
Yeah, you need more than that.
You owe him a new puppy.
Yeah, the whoever the flight attendant was, or whoever the people were that suggested they put the animal up there, those people need to be fired immediately.
100%. Now, what is it about the overhead bins that killed the dog?
Just not enough airflow in there.
Is there no air? I mean, considering that it is in the cabin?
I guess it's sealed off to a point where it didn't have enough air for the dog to survive
puppy.
The flight. And then they were trying to get up, and the plane's bouncing around. And United Airlines says they take responsibility for the dog's death, but they couldn't say if anybody would be disciplined. If you're taking responsibility, hey, it's our fault the dog died, then somebody is responsible that's an employee. And why does that employee keep their job? If you can't answer that question, then you shouldn't even be addressing this family yet. That sucks. I feel bad for this young girl and, you know, the whole family and the mother that was responsible for this. You hear all these stories about people who try to bring on like a peacock on a plane, or a hamster as their emotional support animal, or whatever they want to bring along with them. And then somebody does it right, and they actually try to follow the rules and bring a pet along the way they're supposed to, and it ends up dying like this.
It's bizarre, the turn of events, considering all the stories we have heard in the past, how it got that far. And, I mean, you think people that would raise their voice or at least speak against what they have told, no, we will not put our dog there.
Yeah.
Get kicked out. Probably a video of that
they would.
Confrontation. So they actually went with what the flight attendants were saying, were listening to the directions, and now their dog is dead.
Sure. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
like,
if they would have stood up and been like, no, we're not going to do this, they'd be like, oh my God, you're out of line. There'd be a viral video about how crazy they were and how they were completely ignoring the rules. But they follow the rules, and this happens. United says this was a tragic accident that should have never occurred. His pet should never be placed in the overhead bin. We assume full responsibility for this tragedy and express our deepest condolences and are committed to supporting the family. We're investigating to prevent this from happening again. Just, God, that sucks. I hope that doesn't happen again for sure. Let's talk to Tony. Go ahead, Tony.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
Hey, go ahead.
For some reason, I don't know why, I'm just not believing this story. I mean, being a commercial pilot for over 20 years now, I've just never heard of someone putting an animal up in the overhead bin. As it's for some reason about this story, it just doesn't match. Now, it could have happened to where the flight attendant saw a bag on the floor and didn't know it was an animal in it, maybe, and then threw it up there, but they say the dog was barking. So I just, for some reason, something about this, there's a piece of this story that we're not hearing.
Hmm.
You know, it's something that's not right in the story, because that's nowhere near regulation to have an animal up in the overhead bin.
But Tony, is it possible that this maybe was a flight attendant who just started the job and made a stupid mistake? Or you truly think that there's something bigger that United Airlines isn't saying?
Yeah, it's something about the story that's missing. Because even if, matter of fact, I would say it would have a more of a chance of happening if it was a more senior flight attendant, not someone fresh out of school. Because someone fresh out of class, they definitely not going to do it, because the rules and stuff is fresh in their head, something like that. So if it did happen, it would be a more senior flight attendant that would have did it if that was the case. But I just don't see, there's a piece of this story that's missing. And also, those bins are not super airtight like that. But if they had a bunch of other luggage in there, it could have crushed the dog, you know, from the bags moving around, and he's just not being able to breathe.
I think a lot of people are saying that they didn't do a very good job, and maybe it was because of the language barrier, informing the flight attendant that there was a dog
inside
that bag.
Barking.
They said the dog was barking. Exactly. See, that's a piece of the story that I'm missing. It's something with this story that, I mean, it'll probably come out sooner or later.
Yeah, but Tony, being a commercial pilot, I haven't seen United or any other airline come out and go, we screwed up, it's our fault, we made a huge mistake. I mean, they are like mea culpa falling on the sword here. I don't feel like they would have done that if they didn't think they were 100% to blame here, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know, man. But that flight attendant, like I said, she probably will still keep her job because it's a union job, and it's kind of hard to get rid of people, of course, in union jobs. So she'll probably keep her job. She'll be reprimanded, but she'll probably keep her job on that part.
Yeah, you know what? Thank you for the information, Tony. Appreciate it. According to United Airline policy, dogs are permitted on board flights as long as you put them in a kennel and then you put them under the seat. So
yeah, but people are saying is that whatever she had the dog in, not a traditional dog carrier.
Oh, you don't think so? Like the thing with the screens on the front?
I don't think you put a dog in a bag when you're flying with it. Like,
in the stories that you've seen, I'm sure you're looking at some other stuff in there, Celine. Yeah. Have you seen anything where it shows what the dog was in?
No.
See if you can find it, because I didn't see any photos of it.
Yeah, but that report said that there was a tweet saying, like, my heart breaks with this family. And I think it was a picture of the dead dog, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see the photo of the dog.
I don't think it was a picture of it before it died. I think it was before it died. Sorry.
I didn't see it, the dog or the actual carrier itself. It could be that there was some twists in here, but United falling on the sword really leads me to believe that they said, damn it, let's look at this internally quickly. Did we mess up? Yeah, we did. And we got a hell of a story on our hands here. We need to get out in front of this. So, I don't know, maybe it was just somebody being quick. You're worried. Maybe they flew in through turbulence. They're about to fly back out through it. The flight attendant's only half listening to what's in this bag that these people are carrying. Just put the bag in the overhead bin. Next thing you know, it's up there. The dog ends up dying. We'll see if there's more fallout for United Airlines. Back in a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Orlando City travels to Yankee Stadium to take on the New York City FC this Saturday. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. on FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio.
Real Radio. Real Radio. 104.1.
Filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
The city's a trap, my partner. Under the lights of the choppers. Bodies loose for the coffers. Not worth the cost of a coffin. Stare at the future so toxic. What? No trust in the dust of a promise.
Oh, what was this number you were seeing? See, like, we were talking about the United Airlines situation where this family goes on with their dog. We're trying to figure out what the dog was in. If there was some kind of confusion, maybe it wasn't a real dog crate or travel bag or...
I think that United does allow soft carriers.
All right.
And not just hard.
So like a duffel bag would even work then?
But I mean, it still has to be an approved size duffel bag. It might have been too big or it might have been the wrong... I don't know, man. Right. I don't know what they're keeping their puppy in.
And they're supposed to have some sort of thing like where the animal can breathe through, obviously. That's the big confusion there. But United as a whole, you had some information on that.
Last year, 24 animals died in the care of U.S. carriers. Three-quarters of those, that's 18, were handled by United.
So Jesus. 18 of the 24 animals that died on airlines.
That's 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4 of them all at United.
And then of 15 reported injuries, 13 occurred with United.
Jesus. All right, let's talk to Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I just want to tell you guys a horror story. I was flying my pets from here in Orlando all the way out to Kwajalein when I was stationed out there with the military.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did they lose my dogs going out, they lost my dogs coming back to the point where on the trip out there, they didn't take them off the plane. And the next stop was Guam. And had my dogs not got off the plane, they'd have been euthanized. It was the only plane going in and out for the week.
Hold on, Dan. There's a lot there. You said they lost your dogs on the way there as well? On both ways they lost your dogs?
Oh, yeah, they lost them both ways. So when you go out to Kwajalein, you have to stop in Hawaii. So you stop in Hawaii, and they're supposed to go to the kennels there at the Humane Society to be for quarantine.
And yours is not there.
They never transfer my dogs there. They left them in the baggage carrier in one of their international where they have to, you know, secure cargo.
Yeah.
And I go over there to find my dogs. walk through the secure area, and they're yelling at me, why am I in a secure area? And I'm like, because I'm finding my dogs right there. And then on the return trip, you do another stopover. Well, they transfer them to another flight, and my dogs didn't show back up here in Orlando for another day and a half.
Really? Did they tell you what happened? Like, where were the dogs this whole time?
They had no excuse other than that the traveling trip that I took was in the northern route, and the dogs during that time of the year have to go to a southern route. But they couldn't tell me where my dogs were.
Yeah, and that's got to be frustrating as hell. So you don't do it with them anymore, huh?
I will never fly pets with United, to the point where I almost got arrested twice because of how mishandled they do. They treat pets like furniture. That's what they do. Baggage. That's what they are to them. Baggage.
Just throwing them around and stuff?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
God almighty. All right, thank you, Dan. Sorry.
Don't ever let your dog fly.
All right. Sorry you had to go through that. I know a lot of people seem to have that experience because you bring up this story that is getting a lot of energy this week and people are talking about with a family bringing their dog on the flight. And then the stewardess or whoever, the flight attendant said, put the dog up here in the overhead bin. Or at least that's the story. And then that dog ends up dying after the flight ends. And they open it up and the animal's not breathing in there anymore. All of a sudden, all these people start coming forward and they're like, hey, I was on United. And look, there's a lot of airlines out there. When 3/4 of the animals that died are responsibility of one airline?
Yeah, it looks like they need to revisit and try to rework their whole animal transportation policies.
Yeah, that is not going well.
Imagine all the people, and there's like a lot of folks who have no other choice but to fly their animals and not be there for it. I mean, I had a friend of mine who was moving from Dubai back to the States. They had to ship their dog on their own. It was in with United.
Uh-huh.
It was with, I think it was like a special animal airline, almost
like just for animals.
Like it was a cargo plane, but they had people that were constantly checking on the dogs.
Yeah.
And in the stopping point, they had a little spa and hotel for them.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It was all safe. No dogs were dead. So I don't know if that's something that needs. Maybe there's the opportunity for an airline to be completely created for animals.
This is why people spend so much time and money on their animals.
Right.
Because they want to make sure that they're safe in situations like this.
And I'll tell you what, that's why it's kind of looked a little easier for the people with the animals in situations we've been in where we've flown on much smaller planes, because they just, like, bring them with them.
Oh, yeah, the dog's right there next to you.
Yeah.
Basically, your animal's right there and you're staring at it. You don't have to worry about any of this stuff. It's the big commercial flights where I think you run into these problems. But we'll keep an eye on that story, and maybe some more comes out, and maybe the family didn't have the right thing that the animal was in. It just seems like a needless thing that happened there. There is a story related to something going on in the country right now. As we said at the start of the show today, high schools and middle schools, mostly high schools, though, across the United States, including here in Central Florida, started at 10 a.m. With these kids leaving the classroom in a form of protest, mostly supported by the schools that they're at, and going out into either the track area or an open field by the school and talking about what they think about gun violence in this country, ways they think we could prevent another school shooting, and a lot of these kids with reasonable worries about their safety inside these schools, especially since the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting. And the reason being because, boy, that one surely showed kids, hey, even if the FBI has the information, even if the police show up, even if you've got an armed guard on campus, even if they knew that this kid was problematic and likely to lash out and possibly be a school shooter, still happens. And so some of these kids have just had enough of this. And do some of them have partisan ideals? Sure, but there's a lot of them out there on the streets today just participating in this and taking part in protests, which is a key part of this country, no matter what you believe in politically. So that's continuing. Just at 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, they had another hit when another time zone went on. Each different time zone, as it hits 10 a.m., the schools pour out. So the next one, the next big one they'll be waiting for will be the Pacific time zone in about 30 minutes. And the Los Angeles schools, I'm sure, all of them will take part in this. And they're pissed off at President Trump today anyways. And if you think about the average person in California, which is, I'm sure Trump's poll numbers, especially in Los Angeles, not kick out San Francisco, kick out NorCal, kick out all that. And just overall in California, Trump's numbers have never been that good. But he just chose to fly out of Los Angeles this morning in the middle of rush hour. So his whole convoy going through Los Angeles, and it's traffic. If you ever talk to somebody who lives in Los Angeles, traffic is the worst in the world, probably.
And just when you think it doesn't get worse, Trump comes through at rush hour.
You got a president in town, you get roads blocked off, add another zero to the amount of time you think it's going to take you to get to work.
It's ridiculous. I went for a wedding last July, and it was incredible. I mean, they have a lot of interstates, and they have a lot of roads, and they're all just packed to the gills.
Yeah.
I mean, the oldest in city planning in some of the country, when it comes to how they design the roads and the lack of research done when they did it. You know, like now everybody knows how things flow and how
they didn't know.
It's very meticulous.
They got the PCH, Pacific Coast Highway, and just every single day, bumper to bumper for about half the day.
Yeah.
So you get the president going to town, it's even more crazy. But
gorgeous view, but lots of cars.
Tied to those protests, a story about a teacher who's also a reserve police officer trained in firearm use who accidentally discharged a gun on Tuesday at Seaside High School in Monterey, California.
Whoopsie.
During a class devoted to public safety. So there you go. A male student was reported to have sustained non-life-threatening injuries. The weapon, which was not described, was pointed at the ceiling, according to a statement from the school, and debris fell from the ceiling after the shot went off. The male student was struck in the neck by debris or fragmentation from something overhead. So you got this guy in the classroom. He's trained. He's a reserve police officer. Everything you'd want him to be. And it just goes to show you mistakes can be made. This person, who should have known what they were doing, thought their gun wasn't loaded, did not double check, and shot it right on in to the roof.
And that's how you're safe in public, kid.
Yeah, so that is not a good sign for the folks arguing about trying to arm teachers. And even when you talk about retired police officers or law enforcement, things can go wrong here. And it doesn't tell me that overall that's a bad idea to have more security at these schools. It just tells you that there's no perfect outcome here. There's no utopian vision that fixes all the problems. People think that's the case sometimes. It's just not attainable. Couple dispatches real quick. Here's Thuggy D.
Sean, I just got my Secret Show subscription.
Oh, no, we already
yesterday.
Heard from you. Thanks again for your Secret Show subscription. Here's Blurry Face.
Stephen Hawking actually had a huge sense of humor. Most of it dark, but I remember seeing an interview of him saying, because he was diagnosed at 21, if I lost my sense of humor at 21, then this is a really dark world.
Yeah. So somebody else said, I think it might have been Evil Eye, was talking about, technically, Stephen Hawking said his last words a long time ago because he was able to say some things before he got the surgery done that made it so he could no longer speak and before his ALS progressed to the point where he had to use the computer to talk. Here's Julie.
Hello.
Hey.
So my boyfriend is from Pennsylvania, and he doesn't say flip-flops. He says sliders. We get in many discussions about this because they're flip-flops. They're not sliders. And then he goes and puts socks on underneath his, quote, sliders. I don't know why we're together.
You still date this guy?
She says she doesn't know why they're still together. You know, it's another one that's very regional. And another one that my mom made me realize people said differently. Subs. I say subs. My mom would say grinders.
Hoagies and grinders.
Hoagies. There's more, too.
Long sandwiches.
I don't know if people say long sandwiches.
But I say long sandwiches.
It's starting to catch on. It's like St. Pat Fickle's Day. It's gaining momentum slowly but surely. Oh, we're supposed to have a vote on that today to determine what you want. At the end of your dispatches today, just tell us what you're siding with. Are we St. Practice Day, the day before St. Patrick's Day, St. Pat Fickle's Day. There's so many options out there now. Back in just a second with the next episode with Sabrina. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Confirming all reports
and some of your biggest fears.
You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
The next episode with Sabrina in just a moment. Don't forget, this Friday, the broadcast is on and we are live for the kickoff to your St. Patrick's Day weekend. A live broadcast Friday from 11 to 3 from Elixir. We're going to bring back something we did last year, C-Lane, which was a part of the whole St. Patrick's Day celebration, is Shamrock Shakes.
Okay.
But when you take Shamrock Shakes and you mix them up a little bit worse than they should be, you make for some pretty interesting watching and challenges.
All right, now, which shake did we make last year?
There was a tarantula in the shake last year. And remember, I think I put a little bit too much of the green food coloring in there because there were some people complaining that for the next several days, the green food coloring kind of processing, running right through the body there. We're going to do that. We'll have many more challenges and different things going on and ways for you to win prizes hanging out with us live on Friday at Elixir in downtown Orlando for our kickoff to St. Patrick's Day broadcast. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
Stop the car immediately. That's got to go in my mouth.
Nothing.
Weather's nice.
It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey. Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
20 years ago, 1998, the world was blessed with this song that hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart.
Getting jiggy with it. Oh, yeah. Will Smith.
Oh, yes, huh? Incorrect.
Getting jiggy with it.
20 years ago, happy birthday to Jiggy. 46 years ago, 1972, Burt Reynolds was Cosmopolitan Magazine's very first nude male centerfold.
Did you see him in the latest photos?
No.
He's not looking good.
Like Bert? He did another centerfold?
No. He didn't do another nude centerfold, but there's a photo of him going around today in some news stories at the airport, and he's got like a cane and everything, and he looks, he looks like he's not too long for the world.
Oh, poor Squirt Reynolds. Common turned 46 this week. He celebrated with his brothers Typical and Ordinary. Kris Jenner revealed that she has a favorite child. Now, of course, the title changes constantly based on who's most willing to have sex on camera. So that's good to know for the future children. NBC renewed Days of Our Lives for a 54th season, my friends. Yep. Analysts credit the show's longevity to the fact that the fans can't change the channel from their hospice gurney.
That's true for now.
Last week, the saga of Martin Shkreli came to an apparent close when he was sentenced to 7 years in prison for being a douchebag. And, of course, raising the price, a dramatic increase of life-saving drugs, in addition to his blatant disrespect of this crew.
Wu-Tang.
Wu-Tang Clan is right now. He reportedly paid $2 million for the sole copy of the Clan's Once Upon a Time in Shaolin.
Yeah, Shaolin.
The scam artist formerly known as Pharma Bro showed off the album in one of the many live streams he used to understand what human interaction feels like. Well, he eventually decided to sell the album on eBay, appeared to take $1 million for doing so, but it was on the list of assets that the government eventually seized prior to his sentencing. Now, based on standard procedure, Once Upon a Time and Shaolin will be up for auction alongside his luxury cars and bitcoins that have all been seized, along with like the drug dealer stuff. They do that every once in a while.
They do government auctions.
But there's one person looking to challenge the status quo. A petition recently popped up urging the White House to release the album to the masses. It's hoping to convince 100,000 people to sign using this legally flawed but optimistic reasoning, saying Justice Department can now take possession of the album in judgment. They should release it for free as punishment to Shkreli and give it to its rightful owners, the American people. Now, as of less than an hour ago, 49 signatures.
All right, they're on the way.
We got a long way to go, but Wu-Tang isn't just for the children. It's for everyone, so maybe we'll see that album, or maybe it'll just go to the highest bidder. Snapchat made a big, big boo-boo. They just removed an ad in which they asked users if they want to physically assault this gal.
Yeah, yo. Yeah, yo.
Oh, I know.
Rihanna?
Yeah, Rihanna is right.
Wait, they had a poll on would you want to beat up Rihanna?
Essentially, it was referencing Chris Brown's conviction for assaulting Rihanna. The ad, which was for a game called Would You Rather, we've all played that before, asked users, would you rather slap Rihanna or punch Chris Brown? According to BBC News, Snapchat said the ad was published in error and was removed right away. But of course, users saw the ad, took the screenshots, and let loose on social media, voiced their discontent, including Chelsea Clinton. She jumped in on it. There was a gal named Brittany Packnett saying, I know that social media ads go through approval process from the platform. That means Snapchat approved an ad that makes light of domestic violence. The update ain't the only thing that's whack over there. Chelsea responded, just awful. Awful that anyone thinks is funny. Awful that anyone thinks is appropriate. Thank you, Brittany, for calling this out. Now, despite Snapchat's review process for advertisements, this one apparently slipped by. Even though it was like, I mean, there's layers there as far as Photoshop
yeah,
goes.
Yeah, it's hard because they have so many ads coming in, but if they have actual human eyeballs on them, that one definitely shouldn't have gone through.
They said, we are sorry that this happened. So, until next time Snapchat messes up. Some reggae singer is now suing this gal right here for this song right here.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh, Party in the USA?
That is
no,
incorrect.
No, it's the other one.
We are unable to cease.
We won't stop.
We can't stop we can't is right. Stop. He is suing Miley Cyrus, claiming that she ripped off one of his old songs for We Can't Stop, and it's not even close. It is hilarious.
All right, well, this one's We Can't Stop. Do you have the other one?
Yes, I do. Now, it's a very interesting lawsuit because it's a singer from Jamrock, goes by Flurgon. In his lawsuit, he says Miley's 2013 song borrows heavily from his tune We Run Things. Mind you, Flurgon's song never charted in the U.S., came out 4 years before Miley was even born. But anyways, here's his claim. Now, he isn't saying Miley stole his music or even a single line from his song. Instead, and I quote, she jacked his unique and creative lyrical phraseology in order to establish an overarching and pervasive theme in the realm of self-discovery and self-governance.
All right, I don't Let me translate. Understand that.
He seems to think that Miley's declaration of not stopping is the same thing as him saying he runs things. This is the song.
Yeah.
We can.
Same
time? Nope.
I mean, it's not even in the same ballpark.
Nope. He's suing Miley and Sony to block further distribution, sales, and performances of We Can't Stop, and of course, for the money. So, I guess they got a really strong strain of weed in Jamaica recently, because that is one for the books. When Taylor Swift released the video for her song Delicate, all the fans immediately started dissecting the free-spirited video, taking their favorite moments from the piece, immediately turning them to viral internet memes, comparing it to Britney Spears and Maddie Ziegler.
Sounds like Imogen Heap.
It does. I can hear that. But there may be a few things that the most hardcore fans miss. For example, one of the bodyguards in the video is played by Kevin Falk. Would you do me a favor and Google Kevin F-A-L-K videos?
Kevin F-A-L-K?
Hmm? Videos. First link that pops up?
Hold Anything? On. Videos? So he's got some porn videos.
Yes, that's right. He is a well-known star on the gay porn site Randy Blue.
Jeremy Walker F's Kevin Falk.
Falk plays it, for lack of a better word, pretty straight. In this video, he's a hotel lobby clerk, bodyguard. He's with Taylor Swift. Apparently not the first time Swift has had a performer from the porn industry featured in one of her videos. So it's nice that she's giving the opportunities to the porn actors
sure,
out there.
Sure, they deserve gigs.
So not only can you see Mr. Kevin Falk in Delicate, the music video, but also Jersey Shore XXX, A Little Kink, Wanna F My Wife, Gotta F Me 2, Volume 4.
Oh, that went all the way up to 4, huh?
As well as Blow by Blow.
A lot of people want to F his wife, dude.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people want to.
At least 4.
But you gotta F him first.
You gotta go through him.
It's the least.
You gotta go through you.
That you can do. I only have time for a couple more. Which one shall it be, Sean? Netflix has ripped you off.
Really?
Yeah.
I doubt that.
Oh, ready? Netflix knows that one of the biggest challenges facing parents these days is that it's really hard to convince kids to watch TV, am I right?
Sure, yeah.
Now, fortunately, they've just come up with a genius way to, you know, kind of push them to watch TV, watch the programming, who otherwise wouldn't have their heads buried in a screen. They recently started testing a new patches feature, which gives kids digital badges for watching Netflix. They can rack up accomplishments like watching every episode of Fuller House or binging Skylanders Academy.
Oh, God.
Basically turns watching Netflix constantly into a game with little red locks shown on collectible achievements until they're unlocked. Of course, a little sinister, and plenty of parents aren't cool with it at all, but for what it's worth, Netflix says they're just going to try it out. Might not be permanent.
Yeah.
At least so we get our numbers and the revenue. And
I think
that,
for me,
right?
It would just embarrass me.
Yeah. And I saw that on the app the other day, and I was like, why do we need rewards for watching
it just, especially if it tells you how many times you've watched stuff. It'll just embarrass me.
It makes you feel better. And finally, if you have time, read the new Esquire piece on this guy right here.
Shia LaBeouf
is right, but I will get right to the point of it. Shia LaBeouf's name means thank God for the beef. And that's it.
That's
thank God for the beef.
Shia is Hebrew for gift of God, praise God. Or LaBeouf is beef in French. Shia's dad is Cajun, and therefore, thank God for the beef.
Did you see the actual interview?
I did not.
It's pretty interesting. He's like trying to redo himself completely and get away from all this craziness and be like a family man.
He's sober now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And he thanks God for the beef, and I thank God for Shia on the boob tube. We got the first season finale of Corporate, 10 p.m. on Comedy Central. Tonight's schedule also includes The Blacklist, X-Files at 8 p.m., and you can catch Will Forte on Kimmel. Have a great hump day, Chose, and remember,
smoke weed every day.
Thank you. So we're live trivia up next. If you'd like to play, join the others on the lines getting ready to go now. 407-916-1041 or toll free 1-888-978-1041. Excuse me. Two callers head to head to battle it out for a great prize. And you're playing along on the News Junkie app. So get that up and ready to go. You'll see the play button appear on your profile screen at exactly 105. Be ready to go or dial us up. 407-916-1041. Toll free 1-888-978-1041. Live trivia up next with the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You're listening to the News Junkie. Junkie. Sean Wasson.
Won't you help me sober up? Growing up and make me numb. And I wanna feel something again. Won't you help me sober
live
up?
Live trivia in just a moment. How's everybody doing out there? Staying alive? There's a solar storm hitting us right now, which is why I asked. I don't know if that's going to have any impact on the broadcast today.
Is that bad?
I could be. I don't know. It's kind of cool in a way because when these solar storms hit Earth like they are today, you get the Northern Lights thing going on, and you get some other visual spectacles.
Yeah, but like, doesn't that also mean like weird stuff happens? Like we're heard in states way far
away.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll have somebody in like St. Louis, Missouri, go, "Hey, I just tuned into 104.1 and heard the station. How weird is it?" It's mostly going to be in Montana, Michigan, Wisconsin, North Dakota, but it could cause some weird abnormalities as the U.S. is under a bit of a solar storm today. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right.
What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it
at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
It's live trivia for a Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. And right now, you got a play button on the profile screen in the News Junkie app. Hit that play button. get through your questions and get all the right answers. Then you get on the scoreboard and you get a prize if you're number one at the end of the week. It's as easy as that. Two callers will go head-to-head while you do that. And it's all brought to you by Nations Trucks and NationsTrucks.com. Let's get those callers. Here we go. Lulu, are you with us?
I am.
All right, great. Lulu is with us. And let's try Lisa. Are you with us?
I am.
Okay, Lulu and Lisa are players in live trivia today. Best of luck to both of you. Lulu, how confident are you going to win?
I'm going to give it a 85%.
85%. Lisa, how about you?
Probably 65%.
All right. All right. She doesn't think she's going to do better, but it's worth a shot. Let's get to it here. Number one, Warren Buffett is back with his March Madness bracket contest for employees of his company. An employee that picks the perfect bracket will get this much a year for the rest of their life. $500,000, $1 billion, $2 million, or $5 million. Lulu.
$5 million.
$5 million for the rest of their life, you say? Lisa, what do you say?
$1 million.
You say, oh, wait, we got $2 million, $5 million, $1 billion, or $500,000?
Oh, I thought it was a million.
Nope. $500,000, $1 billion, $2 million, or $5 million?
$200,000.
Okay, that's definitely not
one. I'm going to go with $2 million.
Let's do this one more time. You could choose from one of the following options. $500,000, $1 billion, $2 million, or $5
million? $2 million.
All right, there we go. We'll go to number two.
And I'd like to change my answer.
What's happening here, ladies? Change your answer? What are you changing your answer to?
That's a first in News Junkie history.
I'm going to go for $1 billion.
All right, change it to $1 billion. Normally, we do not allow that, but today we'll do it. All right, number two. Monday night was a big one for Tom Brady, who appeared on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert to talk a little football, chug a beer, and eat this for the first time ever. What did Tom Brady eat? A blueberry, a sugar cookie, a strawberry, or a cream-filled donut? Lisa?
A sugar cookie.
Right. Lulu?
Sugar cookie.
All right. You both sounded very unsure about that one. Number three, frustrated chefs around the world are banning whom from their restaurants after spending hours preparing meals for diners who didn't show up for their bookings on purpose. Who's doing this? Teenagers, vegans, gluten-free patrons, or celebrities? Lulu.
Vegans.
Lisa.
Celebrities.
Number four, a webcam porn star from London is making headlines. She wants to be the first to shoot an erotic film with a sex robot. What's the porn star's name? Strokeahontas? Harriet Sugar Cookie, Jodie's Pfister, or Cherry Poppins? Lisa.
Oh, gosh. Can you repeat those?
Strokeahontas, Harriet Sugar Cookie, Jodie's Pfister, or Cherry Poppins?
Harriet Sugar Cookie.
Lulu.
Harriet Sugar Cookie.
Let's take a little break here for a second. Let's stretch out. Go back to you. Lisa, what is your confidence change to now that we're over halfway through here?
Probably a little less.
Less. Lulu, how about you?
I'm a little less also.
Oh, somebody's got to win. We got three left. Number five, Fox is piloting an AI-based game show. You'll see teams of families compete against robots in a large-scale physical contest. What's the name of the show? Man versus Robot? Famageddon? Blood versus Bots? Or There's No AI in Family? Lulu.
The first one.
All right, Lisa, your turn.
The third one.
Number six, an Idaho science teacher is under investigation after allegedly feeding this to a snapping turtle in front of students at his school. Did he feed a live puppy, a dead kitten, a severed hand, or a lit squib to that snapping turtle? Lisa.
The puppy.
Lulu.
The puppy.
Number seven, the final question. Yesterday we learned the British spree killer Joanna Dennehy called a friend after her third murder and sang this song to her friend to celebrate her third murder. Did she say bye bye bye? Did she sing that song? Did she sing Big Pimpin', She Bangs, or Oops I Did It Again? Lulu.
Oops, I did it again.
Lisa.
Same.
All right, there you go. We'll put you both on hold. We'll go with the questions and the answers. Somebody's got to win today. It was a roller coaster ride. And I didn't know if they never listened to the show, if they're avid listeners to the show all of a sudden. It's very hard to tell. The battle between Lulu and Lisa Ready to go through these, Sabrina?
Oh, yeah.
Number one, Warren Buffett's bracket pays you how much a year if you win?
Lulu originally said $5 million. Then she said she was changing her answer to $1 billion. And that answer, incorrect. So it was $5 million, if it makes you feel better. Lisa said $2 million, and that answer was right.
She changed it at the last second, and I thought she was going to match the $2 million and get it right, and there'd be controversy. No, not the case. So it makes us controversy-free on to number two. Monday night, Tom Brady had one of these for the first time ever.
Both the players said a sugar cookie, and that answer was not a touchdown. The correct answer was a strawberry.
Number three, frustrated chefs around the world are banning whom?
Both the players said, I'm sorry, Lisa said celebrities, and that answer was incorrect. It was Lulu that said vegans, and that answer was full of meat.
There goes Lulu as we go to number four. A webcam porn star is going to be the first to shoot a porn with a sex robot. What's the porn star's name?
Lisa and Lulu both said Harriet Sugar Cookie, and that answer was right.
Look at him go. We're on to number five. Fox is doing a new show, People vs. Robots. What's the name of the show, though? Is it called Man vs. Robot? Famageddon, Blood vs. Bots, or There's No AI in Family?
Lisa said Blood vs. Bot, more like Blood vs. Nut. Lulu said Man vs. Robot, and that answer was right.
I'm not keeping track, but it's got to be close, I think. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe? Going down to the last two, an Idaho science teacher is in trouble for feeding this to his snapping turtle.
Both the players said a live puppy, and aw, snap, you got it right.
Down to the final question. Yesterday, we learned about the woman who, after her third murder, called her friend and sang her this song.
Lulu and Lisa both said, oops, I did it again. And Brittany, did they get it right? We do have winner live trivia, and that's Lulu.
All right. Congratulations, Lulu. You are the winner of live trivia today, and now your confidence is skyrocketing because of that victory. You too can win. All you have to do is call in to play live trivia and get a great prize just like Lulu will today. What do we have, C-Lane?
I have a pair of tickets to the Daytona 200, America's most historic motorcycle road race that's going down this Saturday at Daytona International Speedway. 1-800-PIT-SHOP for more information about that, or DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com. I also have a pair of tickets to the Melbourne Air and Space Show happening March 24th and 25th at the Melbourne International Airport. The Thunderbirds there, the iconic Air Force Thunderbirds return.
Very cool.
And the Shockwave jet truck. I don't know what that is, but it sounds awesome.
It's something impressive, I'm sure, that has some sort of shockwave attached to it.
Yes, and you can probably witness that in person.
All right, let's take a look at the scoreboard in the News Junkie app here on a Wednesday.
Laserblade has the top spot with 1,840, followed by Panta J. Loon, the Dita, Vamos Cactuar. I don't know if I'm saying something terrible right there.
Yeah, that's
Let's Go Cactuar. Fancy Nancy, Cuddle Hunter, I Love Sabrina, Boost Junkie, Seg, and OTS Steve. Back five look like Hung Bob Bulge Pants. What's so funny?
I think you had it right before it updated, because I have Hung Bob Bulge Pants at the end with his new score coming in at the number 10 spot, but I had not seen his name before.
There he is
out of nowhere.
Oh my gosh. I apologize. Let me redo that. Username now has the top spot. Ascolio Laserblade. Took my Chevy. Panta J. Loon. The Dita. Vamos Cactuar. Fancy Nancy now down to 9 or 8. Cuddle Hunter and Hung Bob Bulge Pants at 10. Good for you, Hung Bob. Back five are Juan Shawson, Derek, Bluegill McGillicuddy, Hammer Time, and Punkin' Drublick.
There you go. And it shows you just how fast you can speed up that scoreboard into the top 10, just like Hung Bob. He did it. You can too. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Download the app. Get all set to go to play live trivia tomorrow. And when we come back, a proposal that went about as wrong as any proposal can go. Trust me on this one. A very bizarre tale for you next. Stay put. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
You're listening to the News Junkie. 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 Sean Wasson.
I got a head full of darkness, and darkness is good. Cause if we all die young, then we don't get hurt.
What a bizarre story this is. And when I first saw it, I said, I don't know. You know, something sounds fishy about that. Maybe somebody's up to something. And I looked into it. I said, no, it's just one of those stories that just, it happened. It's terrible. And it's weird circumstances. And it all went down in Harbor Island, Bahamas. Now, we all were just in the Bahamas not too long ago. I don't know where the hell Harbor Island is.
I don't think it's that far from where we were.
Is it close to where we were for real? Oh, that'd be weird if it was in the same kind of neck of the woods. We were at Hopetown in the Bahamas.
Harbor Island, I'm pretty sure, is like what we had to go through.
Really? Like one of the islands around there? Well, we flew in to the Bahamas and went to a place called Hopetown. And the Bahamas is spread out pretty far, so you never know where these spots are. But I wasn't familiar with the spot where this young couple was. And they were from Rockford, Illinois. And they went there to spend some time together. It was this woman, her boyfriend, and her brother that all went to go hang out in the Bahamas. And Athena Williams is 20 years old. She met this guy, Jonathan Brusso, 19, at a bonfire during the summer after the two finished eighth grade. Sounds like something out of a teen movie.
Very sweet.
Hanging around the fire, you're telling stories, you start making out, you're secretly having some drinks or something. That's how they met each other. When ninth grade started, they rode the same school bus every single day. William says one morning, Brusso sat in the seat next to her, and from there it was young love. Those two started dating. Brusso had been with Williams and her family on vacation to the Bahamas. William says the night before he went missing, he sat down with her family after she went to bed to ask them a question that would change their lives. So he sits down with his high school girlfriend's family and goes, look, I love your daughter. I love her and I want to be with her forever. And I wanted to ask you if I could ask her for her hand in marriage. Oh. I want to marry her. We're in love, goddammit. And the family, I guess, was receptive to it.
Gave their blessing?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, they talked about it. They planned everything out. I mean, the guy had even planned out their own wedding, which is traditionally something that the female in the relationship would be doing or more interested in. But this guy just wanted to get married so bad. And so he goes to have some time alone with his girlfriend's brother, because he wants to get personal one-on-one with him, too. Does the same thing. And he asks him, hey, you know, I want you to know I love your sister, and I want to marry her. Are you okay with that? And the brother says that he says, okay, I'm good with it. I'm good with it. And at that very moment, a giant wave hit and pulled him out into the ocean, and they never saw him again.
Oh, my God.
And he died. His last words were telling the brother that he wanted to marry the sister. Which is why at first I was like, what if they really didn't want this guy to marry into the family? And they just kind of shoved him out to sea. But it seems like it was just one of those situations. Did we find out where Harbor Island is?
It's about 74 miles south and a little bit east of Hopetown.
All right, so it's a little ways away from where we are. It looks like another small island. And just listen to this. Some of the details on this are pretty unbelievable.
When we started dating, he always told me, he said, since the first time I saw you, I knew I was going to marry you.
And that first time Athena Williams met Jonathan Brusso was the summer after eighth grade at a bonfire.
Aww. A very true gentleman. He was always...
I find the way that she's speaking about him a little different, too. I always am taken aback by this. Because she's kind of smiley and almost sounds like happy and excited, but maybe it's just how people process things. That's why some of these things were kind of alarm bells to me. Like, what's happening here?
Just going out of his way to make sure I was taken care of.
The night before the 19-year-old was swept into the ocean in the Bahamas, Athena tells Fox 17 he sat down with her family after she went to bed to ask them a question that would change their lives. He wanted permission to marry her.
Aww.
We had everything planned out already. He had our whole wedding planned out too, and we weren't even engaged or anything.
Before the sun rose the next morning, Jonathan went out with Athena's brother Eric and hiked up to a tall cliff.
All right, so there they are. The next day, he goes, well, I'm going to go up with a brother. We're going to go on a little hike here. We're going to go on top of this cliff, and I'm going to ask him the same thing, get a little personal about marrying his sister.
Oh, that when they were there, Jonathan also asked Eric if it was okay if he could marry me. I know that. And the one thing Eric did tell me that Jonathan said was, come have a seat with me, buddy. And then it just kind of happened, I guess.
A huge wave came and swept them into the water. Eric was able to grab onto a rock and get to shore.
That's
he had
scary.
Broken ribs and a gash in his back, but still he ran a mile to get help for Jonathan before he was taken to the hospital. At 11 a.m., Athena got a message that Jonathan was not with Eric.
Yeah, they didn't see him ever again. The family goes out and they're looking for him, trying to find him. They're trying to call anybody they possibly could.
Oh, that sucks.
It's so sad that the fact that he was sitting there going, hey, you know, can I marry your sister and all these things are happening right as, you know, that moment occurs when the wave hits and takes him out. And I don't even know if they found his body. I didn't see anything that said that they found his body. There was a tropical storm that hit the island, making their search more difficult at the time. She credits the Bahamas for their ability to continue the search. They said, I guess that they ended up just figuring out that he was dead after a time, but what a dramatic way to go. That's unfortunate. Seriously. Let's get to some dispatches. Here is Jose, and this is Jose's very first dispatch. Thank you, sir. Here it is.
Hey, News Junkies. This is Gonzo from the Postal Office. When it comes to a dog as a French bulldog, they're flat-nosed, just like any bulldogs. And the problem with that, they say not to take these dogs on airlines because they can't breathe.
Yeah.
Apparently, the dog was a French bulldog and probably stuck up there, didn't have any air, and probably suffocated because of that. All right, guys.
A lot of people talking about this United flight where the dog was put into the overhead bin, and they're saying that it was a French bulldog, and I guess these animals, they can't breathe that well to begin with, and so that made things tougher. Julie says the same.
Hello. About the puppy that passed away on the United Airlines flight, they said it was a French bulldog. French bulldogs are brachiocephalic dogs, which means they have that squished face, like a pug or a bulldog.
Inbred.
Which makes it hard for them
breathe
normally. That's why you hear a lot of them snorting.
I mean, those dogs are so inbred to make them look adorable that's how they are now.
I don't think the squished face is always that adorable.
I know, but that's why they're like that. It's like these dogs, we want them smaller, and they want their face to be fatter or more squished, and then it turns into something they breed for, and then they essentially make the dogs retarded in a search for something adorable. And in this case, the dog's breathing is retarded by the inability to pass air through its face properly.
You're bringing retarded back?
It's a word that means, I'm not talking about it in the way you think I am, maybe. They're not able to process the air through the face of the dog. You've heard these animals when they're sitting still, they're like...
Oh, yeah. And as they get older, it gets worse. I mean, those are always the problems that you're going to see with the bulldog, the French bulldog, the pug.
Oh, pugs are bad. I think pugs only live like a handful of years, but they're adorable. So they breed them down to that level and they go, oh, look how cute. And then they die. That is not necessarily the reason why this happened, but it could have made it worse.
When I worked in a grooming shop, you could not leave any dog that was brachycephalic in a dryer for too long because they could easily overheat and stress out and then pass out and pass away. So I would be willing to bet that stress and probably heat and whatever in that upper cabin caused that puppy to die. I would never have allowed that to happen. I would have gotten off the plane, but that's just my opinion.
Yeah. We're waiting for more details on this. You know, was there sort of a language barrier? The young girl seemed to speak very good English, but her mother, even during the news interview, she was speaking Spanish. So, I don't know. There's some questions out there that remain. Here's Mel Mello.
Good morning, guys. It's a nice day.
Afternoon.
Day off, you know, hanging out. I'm actually sitting at home listening to you from a computer. Really interesting, not a vehicle. You know, weird.
Thank you.
You can actually research stuff while I listen.
Oh, great.
It's a good idea. I'd recommend doing this for anyone at work. Anyways, have a good day.
Is he recommending it for us?
Yeah. He's saying, research through the show? He's saying, I recommend that because everything that they say is complete and total.
I'm researching the things you're talking about, which I would really recommend for C-Lane.
Yeah. I mean, I think that hopefully most of this stuff is accurate, Mel Nello. And I'm glad that you have your day off and you're still spending it with us. So yeah, thank you for that. Let's go to Rob Ross with the dispatch.
I started watching Altered Carbon 2 days ago, and it is pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, it's good. And
a ton of nudity.
Yeah. Oh, my God. There is a lot of nudity in it. There is a lot. Like, almost, I hate to say it, it's almost like the first couple of seasons of Game of Thrones where the nudity was a little excessive.
Because a lot more peen than boobs.
No. No, there's actually a good mix, I would think, of the two of them. But the idea that, like, there's all these scenes where you're just like, okay, why is this person even naked in this scene? You start to question. You're like, all right, I'm cool with this. Everything. I love the story. I love it. But, like, it seems a little forced from time to time. I definitely got that with Game of Thrones. And I think with this, it could be a distraction. But it's really, really good. And most of the episodes I've seen so far, I totally enjoyed in terms of Altered Carbon. Here's Travis.
Good morning, News Junkies. It is a sad day today with the passing of Stephen Hawking. I really looked up to the guy. I'm very big into science and space and all that cool stuff. And yeah, I would agree. We have maybe 100, 200 years left on this earth until we're done. So also, just going back to yesterday real quick, Sean, eat some breakfast, get your metabolism going, and then maybe you can lose a little bit.
Oh, I'm metabolized, man.
So with that, I'm out. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Thank you, Travis. More of these protests as the West Coast now is starting to observe this walkout over gun inaction. They're showing live footage in Seattle. They just went to Denver. But a lot of these kids on the march, walking somewhere, and there seems to be, in some cases, teachers along for the journey. They've got signs that they've made up to bring along with them today. Yeah. Everything has been peaceful so far. Just getting their message out there.
I wonder where it is happening locally.
I think a lot of the schools are doing this. I think. I didn't see when it happened here because we had CNN on in the studio, and obviously a lot of the local channels aren't live at 10 o'clock, or some of them aren't live at 10 o'clock when that happened. But I think a lot of schools did this. My son's school did this today, and he's down there in South Florida at a school called G-Star. But there's a bunch of schools that have participated in this. I think some maybe more than others, but just from my perspective, my son's school sent out emails and they called and like multiple points of communication to say, here's what's happening. We're watching over the kids. Here's how this is all going to work with the timeline and everything. So most schools, knowing it was going to occur, jumped on top of things to pay attention here. General Motors is going to make some changes into the way you fill up your car with gas. I would hope we just had more of these electric cars. That seems better in the long run. But there is something else that they're doing over at GM. Their vice president of global propulsion, which sounds like a pretty cool title.
Oh, yeah.
That guy, Dan Nicholson, made a surprising proposal during a speech recently. He said it's time for America to get over its distaste for low-octane gas and start pumping our cars full of the fancier stuff. According to Nicholson, relatively simple changes, including new pistons to enable higher compression and revised calibrations, can yield about 3% improvement in efficiency with no significant added component costs. Aggregated over millions of engines a year, that adds up to a fairly substantial fuel consumption reduction. Yeah, I don't know how that's supposed to help somebody already moving along and struggling and going paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
I'm getting the 87 octane. I'm sorry. Seems to work just fine for now.
Yeah, I don't need that highfalutin gas.
I've gotten the 93 octane one time just to kind of feel fancy about it. I think it was the first time that I got a lender car from Jenkins, and I was like, I better put the good stuff in this.
Oh, yeah?
Right back to the cheap stuff. 87 octane works fine.
Are you supposed to mix that?
No, I think you're fine after a while.
They're mixed anyway.
Yeah, 89 is, right?
The middle is a mix of the outer,
yeah,
two.
Yeah, 89 is when you get, like, both of them together. They flood them into your car. It's just expensive. And I was driving somewhere trying to find a damn car wash this weekend, and I saw the gap is getting so big. Like, 87 octane at some place was $2 and, let's say, 45 cents. I'm just guessing. I don't know what the exact number was. $2.45. And the 93 octane was a dollar more. Like, that's a significant gap when you're filling up your entire car for most people out there. For the lead of propulsion or whatever at GM, maybe not such a big deal. Others were waiting for the long-term change when you can go to some sort of electric or hybrid vehicle that makes sense for everybody. Back in a moment with Jury Duty. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
At Real Radio 104.1 on Twitter. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. Real. Follow him long enough and you could be treated to a late night live stream with slurred words. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
This Friday, kicking off St. Patrick's Day weekend, a live broadcast on Friday from 11 until 3 p.m., and it's right at Elixir on Washington and Orange, downtown Orlando. It's a great spot to be. It was so fun last year doing this broadcast. It's good to be out there again. We'll have prizes. We'll have all kinds of things going on. The first 200 people out there, you're going to get a limited edition magnet for Game of Magnets. So be early for that.
Absolutely. And just got confirmation. Juice Bikes, which is the bike share program in the Orlando area.
Uh-huh.
They set up a special code for our listeners. So if you use Real Radio 104.1, you get a free hour of Juice Bikes, and that's for new and current users. So,
is that the orange bikes that are all over downtown?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And they're going to be set up. Even if you want to take your own bike, they're going to have a little valet there, so you just give it to them. Or
oh,
if you
cool.
want to take a Juice Bike, you get a free hour, and then you can take an Uber home when you're hammered.
Yeah, I mean, better idea always, 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 always than driving is anything. And biking or getting a ride or whatever, they'll help you out. As part of all this, we want to make sure everybody's safe at this event. We want you to drink. We want you to have fun. We want you to enjoy yourself, but be safe afterwards. That's cool that they're stepping up with that. How do people do that again?
So you just go to Juice Bikes and then use the code RealRadio1041. Don't get
all
the point.
One thing?
All one thing, RealRadio1041, and then you get a free hour of Juice Bikes. And that's for new and current Juice Bike members.
There you go. They're all over downtown. There's a whole bunch of those. You take them quite a bit, actually.
If you download Sobi, S-O-B-I, that's the app, and you could see where they're all tracked and stuff like that.
Like so on a map, you can see where they are?
Yeah, and there's a bunch of stations on the way to Elixir in every direction.
All right, it's a great broadcast every single year, and it's going to be the first real live interactive broadcast of 2018. So if you want to pick up some stuff for hanging out, and let me just make this as clear as possible, because people freak out about this a little bit. If you want one of the magnets, you're going to have to be there at the get-go. Like, you're going to have to be there early. I remember after Cinco de Mayo last year, there's so many people going, I've been here for X amount of time, I've listened for this long, and I didn't get one of these magnets. It's because it's pandemonium. And if we have enough people there to get all the magnets right away, unfortunately, if you show up a little bit later, you're not going to get them. So take the day off or swing by for a big, long lunch and tell the boss you're going to get something at Elixir and hang out with us.
Or tell the boss you have diarrhea.
Yeah.
I'll never question that.
Once you get there, just text and go, oh, God, you know, bad situation here.
Look at the take a selfie on the toilet. Don't show genitalia. And, I mean, there's your proof right there.
Uh-huh. You say, look, I'm so sorry. I'm so embarrassed even sending this to you. Then you go back out, enjoy the rest of the broadcast, enjoy some great food from Elixir, prizes, and all kinds of fun things going on as we do each and every year. The details, the rundown, you're going to get tomorrow, but make sure you're ready for that show. Let's do Jury Duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on Jury Duty with the News Junkie.
Jury Duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm, DeWittLaw.com. That's how you spell it. Go to DeWittLaw.com when you need an attorney, and Moses DeWitt and the folks over at the DeWitt Law Firm are going to take care of you. You know, you've been in an accident, you're a little shaken up, now you've got people talking about going against the insurance company. Put the worries to the side. Call 1-800-DeWitt-LAW. Let Moses handle that stuff. you be at ease and know you're in real good hands, and send an email to ask@dewittlaw.com. I forgot to mention this, but it's up in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app, not jury duty related, but a Swedish bodybuilder who said she was bullied mercilessly, teased her entire life about her gigantic legs, is now getting one over on all those bullies as she has built up a following of 150,000 people on Instagram.
Damn!
And her legs are unbelievably long.
It's ridiculous.
40 inches. So wow. 40 that's, inches with heels.
That's more than half of her height.
Yeah.
And she wears heels.
Yeah, and it's crazy looking to see people next to her and see what she looks like. Not to mention, she does have one of these contorted figures where she's way thin, too thin, I think, and then has like an odd giant ass on the end of it somehow. It looks like it's physically impossible to be in this shape.
She's 5'10", which is 70 inches. So 40 of those are legs.
40 inches of legs. 30, and 30 just the whole rest of her. That's kind of weird to even think about. Take a look at her. She has a huge following on Instagram of people just mesmerized by her proportions, I guess. I think she's like one of those fitness models, but also like a weightlifter model because she's pretty ripped here, too. And she's also able to pull off the very difficult shot. I just don't think I could do it, where you could be completely naked and showing nothing all at the same time. Standing naked and like crossed in just the right way so you're hiding all of your stuff that you're not supposed to show on camera.
It's very challenging, but doable.
I guess she was showing that she could pull this off here, and maybe her 40-inch legs help her out. Take a look at that. It's pretty unbelievable, the human body and the differences between us. Take a look at it on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. I'm sorry. I know it's not jury duty related. I know. But C-Lane posted it. I want to put that up there. All right, there we go. Now let's talk about the serious jury duty related stuff, because a Snapchat famous L.A. prostitute has been charged in a sex trafficking bust.
No.
Yes. This Los Angeles prostitute, who I guess is pretty famous in L.A. and known as Pretty Ho on social media, has been charged with sex trafficking. And they say that they say Williams, who is Melanie Danae Williams, somebody else who was charged, ordered a hooker she recruited through social media to strip and threw bleach on her and beat her with a broomstick. Court papers say the 22-year-old was sentenced to 3 months in jail last year for prostitution. She is referred to as the most hated hoe in L.A., Pretty Hoe. And I saw some other stuff. There's like she got a bunch of videos out there on YouTube. She could face life in prison if convicted on the charge.
Damn.
Yeah, they don't joke around with the sex trafficking stuff these days.
Which is pretty interesting considering if she is famous on Snapchat, she can utilize having a private Snapchat account.
Yeah.
Which I am aware could rake in hundreds of thousands of dollars a month. Yet she's still doing sex trafficking.
Yeah, I don't understand it. And all of her stuff is very public out there. Prostitution is still illegal in Los Angeles, and she was really putting herself at risk by just being very public with all this. We've got these school walkouts going on today, and they continue to show the video footage, as I had anticipated, of the students walking out over gun inaction and their issues with politicians. Meanwhile, in the state of Florida, St. John's County Sheriff's Office posted a message yesterday. They had to clear things up. They said there is no active shooter at Pedro Menendez High School. There was a teacher. Teacher was making popcorn. The popcorn set off the fire alarm. One of the students got freaked out by the popcorn and the fire alarm and thought there was an active shooter situation. Okay. Posted that on Snapchat, and the entire school freaked out. It's one of these things that reminds you, kind of keep your calm when you can. Be aware of your surroundings. But it also shows you on a day like today how freaked out some of these younger guys are. And finally, in jury duty today, a snake flogger is facing a whole new set of charges over animal cruelty.
Flogger or blogger?
Vlogger, a snake vlogger. He doesn't flog his snakes, but he puts videos of them on YouTube, attracting millions of views as Venom Man 20 and a bunch of his snakes, five of them, three alligators and a crocodile he owned when he left his job at some preserve he was not legally in possession of.
Uh-huh.
And he was also charged with 23 offenses, including animal cruelty.
That's a laundry list of different animals
there. Yeah, he's got a bunch, and like his whole video channel is there.
What's going on, YouTube?
Hey,
Venoman 20 here tonight.
Venoman 20.
And tonight, we're going to take a look at everything we did in 2017.
Yeah.
We're going to take a look at what we have planned for 2018.
So, jail time.
I'm Venoman 20 because I've been bitten 20 times.
Probably.
Because 19 was taken.
He is not doing so well right now, in some trouble with the law. Back in just a moment. Do not, under any circumstances, approach this woman. She's contagious, police say, and it could be very bad for everybody. What's going on? Details next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your next chance to win $1,000 is just minutes away on Real Radio 104.1. Feel. Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie. Don't look
anymore. This is such a weird start. I'm so curious here. I know we got some listeners, people who tune into the News Junkie from the UK, always getting emails, and there's even secret show subscribers all over the UK as well. So be careful out there, because we don't have a lot of information, but they say there's a missing woman in the UK, and they're warning, don't go anywhere near her. Like, they're putting her photo up all over, and they're saying, this is Kaylee McConnon. She is 27 years old, and not like she's armed and dangerous or something, but don't go near her because she's got an incredibly contagious condition.
Okay.
What the hell does that mean? What is that? What could it possibly be that she's got that she's wandering around with that if you just kind of come in contact with her, you all of a sudden get sick?
But she's missing, so is this like ticking time bomb of infecting people with whatever this condition is?
I think so. And she left from the hospital. Like, they had her under lockdown at the hospital. She disappears. And now they're going, whoa, 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 if you see her out anywhere.
Oh, God.
That sounds like something that started a thriller movie.
This is The Walking Dead.
This is the first person. She's patient zero, and the zombie outbreak starts here. Because that's all they're saying. They're saying Kaylee McConnon, 27, is said to have a contagious condition. Police have not revealed what that condition is. Well, thank you, officers. Mm-hmm. Appreciate the information there. She is described as a white woman, 5 feet, 5 inches tall, with shoulder-length, mousy hair. What the hell does that mean?
You know what? I'm glad we're not in the UK.
Mousy hair? Is that like a color thing, or does it mean it looks like a hair a rat would have or a mouse would have? Mousy hair is what the adjective says there.
First thing that comes to mind with mice is not their hairdo.
Mm-mm, no. Maybe it's like a brown color? Let's see. Mousy hair. I haven't heard that before. Somebody who has mousy hair has brownish gray colored hair. You might say I have mousy hair. I've got gray coming in and I have like a brownish kind of hair,
well,
I guess.
You know, they would say look for a guy with a Jimmy Neutron haircut.
They probably would. Yeah, it would be easier to put an APB out for me and just say Jimmy Neutron haircut. And people would understand that quickly. But Sabrina, if you happen to see her, maybe she hops the pond and you see Kaylee McConnon, don't go near her. Because she's contagious.
Contagious with what?
I wish I could tell you. I don't know.
That's scary.
They didn't give me that information. They just simply said, hey, she's contagious. Sea lane, if you see her, just turn away. Run. Run full sea lane speed in the opposite direction.
Not very fast.
Well, it's going to have to do to get away from the mousy-haired lady.
I'm looking at the article about this. They don't even have a picture of the lady in the article.
I saw one picture of her. She looks just like the average person.
Also, what could she have that is so contagious?
That's what's scary. And the idea that they won't say it? Contagious diseases, stuff that's airborne, that's the most frightening to me. That's the stuff that you go, oh, man, so I could get this, And then I jump on the city bus.
Oh, they found her.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, they found her just a little bit ago.
We're all at ease now, especially the people listening to the News Junkie over in the UK.
Depending on how many people she's come into contact with.
Those people are all dying, I think. Did they say anything else, Elaine, about...
Nothing.
Oh, God. That would be so freaky having that happen. And all over your town, people are looking for you. Because you've got some sort of contagious disease, and God only knows what was going on there. That could be in like 2 or 3 years, some psycho thriller movie, and that lady is the way that all these things spread.
That's so odd.
Yeah, very,
also,
very
odd. This hospital looks just, I guess maybe there's more to it behind it. It looks kind of run down and...
So there's something like, weird going on
like
here.
A hospital that lets patients go that are supposed to be quarantined.
Yeah. I would imagine that if that was the situation, they would probably have more of a lockdown going on. I also want to talk about this Maryland state senator. And her name is Cheryl Kagan. She is a Democrat from Maryland. And she accused a lobbyist of groping her in a bar. And she's trying to say, look, here we go. Here's what happened. And this video proves me right, as she released the video this week. And she says, I told you. And he goes, no, I told you. And they're both trying to say that the video vindicates them. We'll take a look at that in just a second. Let's talk to Monk. Go ahead, Monk.
Yeah, back in the late 90s, in a couple hours, my legs swelled up to the whole size of my pants. And so I went home from the barbecue, and about 2 hours later, called an ambulance, went to the hospital. Well, they put a stethoscope to my leg, and I was breaking out in fevers, saturating me. When they cut open the leg, it looked like moving rice pudding and took your breath away. It turned out that there was 3 cases in North Florida. A kid on football field in Orlando, it ate through his heart, and he bled internally. One in Edgewater, where his fever got so high, like mine did, that it cooked his brain. And I lived because I caught it in enough time. But within 72 hours, the flesh-eating bacteria eats through your arteries, flesh, anything, and there's no way to stop it. So they had to do 7 surgeries of just hacking off the side of my leg.
So they
shut down the hospital, 4 rooms in each direction, and nothing could go in or out. And they came in complete breathing apparatus suits because at the time they weren't too sure of it, and it was called Superbug. But I got sent to the CDC up in Jacksonville, and I had to pee, poop, number 3 samples and everything.
You
because
give them number 3 samples?
You don't want the number 3 sample. That's from your girlfriend.
No, but she was saying, Monk,
got him.
You had to give them number 3 samples of semen samples to test out?
Yes, and they kept kicking it off the air. They didn't talk about it. I mean, they weren't saying anything about it. Every time I got on the internet, they were knocking it off the site.
And then
Oprah did a story about it about a year later. But for a year, the 93,000 cases and 67,000 people died of it. None of us were linked to each other.
Really?
And I didn't know if it was bioterrorism or how we got it, and I have no idea.
So you still don't know how you got this?
No. And it ate off the side of my leg, like I said, in less than 24 hours, from the knee all the way to the hip.
So what's it? What's your leg look like now?
There's skin grafts, but it's completely missing on the side. It looks like a light, film of skin over the muscle.
Can you send us a picture of your leg for seeing now?
No.
Yes. Yeah, no, I want to see it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
All right.
That's about close to 17 years now since I had it, but it still looks pretty hideous.
Hey, Monk, what was it like when you were in the place where you said all the hospital rooms around you were kind of shut down and you were kind of in this position where people were in space-like suits when they went near you? How long were you like that? What was that like to be in there?
About a month, but in about 2 weeks, they had the CDC come down and get me, and they put me in like one of those bubble bed things and throw me in a van and take me up there because they didn't know how contagious it was.
Oh, my God.
So everything had to be incinerated. They came in and out of the room. They couldn't leave the room. It had to be incinerated.
How scared were you? Like, just totally freaked out?
I was losing it because I didn't, it's not like I was promiscuous with anybody, dangerous or doing anything crazy to do it. It's just one day out on the way to a barbecue, my legs started getting sore. I was like, what, I pulled my hamstring? And then I just started sweating to the point that it looked like I went in the shower.
And what did it look like when they opened your leg?
It looked like crawling rice pudding.
Oh, God.
And man, you were going to make me throw up on the radio.
It smelled bad?
atrocious.
Oh, God.
What did it smell like, if you could describe something that smelled similar?
If you put steak, eggs, and maybe cabbage inside of a Ziploc bag and put it in the middle of I-4 on a hot summer day and just let it sit for about a week, then open up the bag and take a deep breath.
I bet it was even worse than that.
All right, hang on, Monk. I want to get a picture. Send it to C-Lane. Give him your number or something so he could text over a photo. We could put it on See It Now. Don't you want to see what the superbug leg looks like now? Sabrina's with me on this.
All right.
It's already happened. We've talked about it. Want to at least see what this thing looks like. Thank you for the information, Monk. See, that's the scary stuff that can get passed around all over the place.
Glad your leg is better.
God.
Good God.
That does something to you when you hear a story like that. Quickly to this Maryland State Senator, Cheryl Kagan. She released this video. It was from an Irish pub. She was hanging out there. This lobbyist was hanging out there. And the lobbyist says her claims that he put his hand on her back and slid it down and grabbed her ass are incorrect, false allegations. They're both saying the video vindicates them. The thing that I was kind of put off by a little bit was she did this whole press conference and did these interviews where it really sounded like, oh my God, the most terrible thing in the world happened. And when you watch the video, the guy goes up and talks to her, and he does put his hand around the side of her body when he's talking to her, like a side hug, and then he walks away from her. Even if he did slide his hand down, which is inappropriate, and he shouldn't do that, and you shouldn't be touching people who don't want to be touched, the way she delivered this was like she had been sexually assaulted in a much more significant way than you see.
You should be wary of doing the, like, touching, what do they call that, the small of your back?
Yeah.
He was just leaning in to talk to the woman, and he definitely slides down. I think he might have grazed her ass.
Like, as he's pulling away from her,
but
his hand moves away.
Grope, I think, is a strong word for what that was. I mean, they're both saying that this video vindicates them. I think the video definitely proves that he at least touched her ass at some point.
I don't see him touching her ass. I see him with his hand on her side. It's up on See It Now, so everybody could take a look. Tell us what you think, if you think that this guy did something inappropriate here. And you could watch the video, because they're both saying it proves their point.
If she says it's inappropriate, then why can't we just go with what she says?
Because I'm not just going to go with what somebody says. I'm going to go with the video.
If she does not want to be touched in that way, then she doesn't want to be touched that way. It was unsolicited, unwanted. And I mean, I think to sit there and do frame by frame of whether or not it was inappropriate, I mean, she did not feel comfortable with it, and she's expressing that.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she's telling the truth just because she said
something.
What
is the video?
The video shows nothing. I mean, just hold on. Listen to the way she says this, because I thought she kind of overdid what happened to her. Again,
also, at the press conference, to show people the video, she just held her laptop up. Like,
oh, you need a TV
for this.
Yeah, she
needs like a screen.
Yeah, here she is.
We should be treated with respect as professionals. I am hopeful that before too long,
you're going to cry?
The hashtag MeToo will no longer be needed.
Montgomery County Democrat Senator Cheryl Kagan contends this security video from the Castle Bay Irish Pub confirms lobbyist Gil Jen inappropriately touched her by sliding his hand down her back to her tush.
I shifted
her
my body a little bit, and I gave my former chief of staff a kind of bug-eyed, like, oh dear God, make this stop, make him go away look.
However, Glenn says the video vindicates him. He released video and still photos of the encounter. His four-page statement says in part, this video shows clearly that I did not grope Senator Kagan, slide my hand down, 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 or grab her tush. Senator Kagan owes me and my family an apology.
I have no comprehension how Gil Jen can watch that video and say that it vindicates him and his perspective, his three-page statement, in any manner.
All right, she's saying it vindicates her. He's saying it vindicates him. You can watch the video for yourself. I think when you have this kind of stuff, he's got his arm around her side for a second as he's pulling her in and talking to her, and you attach that to some sort of sexual assault or sexual harassment meme as a larger point, it waters down stuff. This woman may have been touched in a way she didn't like. That's totally possible. If she's saying that, then fine. But if she's saying that this was some sort of sexual assault, That's not what you see on this video. But look for yourself. It's in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app if you'd like to take a peek. C-Lay, did you get that photo?
Which
photo?
The leg photo. I haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, we got to get the leg photo. I'm interested in seeing this. And also incredibly scared about seeing this. Both of those emotions hitting me at the exact same time right now. Back in just a second with that and more. A plus to the ballparks opening up for baseball season. Some really crazy offerings. Details on the way. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Because the newspapers don't come with cliff notes or potentially offensive accents. This is the News Junkie. I got my bags packed and I'm ready to go. Tell me one damn thing I already know.
Got my bags packed and I'm ready to run. But then she pulled me. More of your dispatches in just a moment. And we'll also get that photo up as soon as the caller from the previous segment sends it over. Oh boy, that was a lot to digest there. Talking about this, it was a woman that started it all who they just caught in the UK, and they told everybody, don't go near her, she's contagious, but they didn't say anything more about it, like why she's contagious, what's happening, why you should be aware of this, or what kind of disease she has. A caller calls up and goes, I had something like that and had to be hidden away in the hospital and put into a controlled spot for about a month. Oh, God. All the details, you can check back on the podcast if you missed it. But eventually that photo will be up on See It Now and the News Junkie app. Let's go over to Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. Go ahead.
All right. So when I was a sophomore in high school, I actually had a cut on my finger. I was on the St. John's River pulling up an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
I got rare disease that caused my lymph nodes actually to inflame, which they became like half of a golf ball size. Throughout multiple parts of my body.
Okay, so your lymph nodes, like, they were all swollen.
Yeah, they were swollen, but they were to the point to where they weren't healing, and they actually had to go back in. They never identified the disease.
So,
and they had to surgically lance every single one and drain them.
Oh, God. They had to go in there and, like, actually drain them? Do you remember what that was like?
Yeah, at the time, I was too young to actually be put under gas, so... They had to manually do it.
Well,
so I actually remember them watching them do it. So.
Oh, my God.
Was it, do you, like, vividly remember it? Is the smell still in your head?
I mean, it's, like, ingrained into my head. Like, I can picture them. Because they had to put Novocaine versus putting me under.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. All right. No, sorry about that, Eric. Jesus. What's wrong with everybody having these weird things happen to them? It makes me feel like my childhood was so normal that none of that stuff happened to me, at least. Now, thankfully so. To your dispatches in just a moment. But since we're all big sports fans around here, baseball season is kicking off. As we all know, March 29th.
Oh, yeah. Counting down the days.
The MLB season kicks in. And more, one of the stories becomes sort of like a side story, another angle on this stuff. How amazing or weird, just plain bizarre, the concessions are getting at some of these sports arenas?
As far as pricing or offering?
Just the offerings. The offerings. And no matter where you live, if you've got a sports stadium near you, you'll find that they've really cranked it up. It used to be just like the crappy hot dogs. And then, okay, say what you want, but the nachos with the cheese in that little container where you hit it down and cover your nachos.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious. Really weird color of orange that doesn't occur naturally anywhere in the planet, but does occur in nachos. And now it's just all kinds of craziness. So some of the things that they're going to be offering around the league this year, the Arizona Diamondbacks are going to have a churro dog, which is right down my alley.
Churro dog.
Yeah, I'd positively eat this. It's a hot dog bun with a churro down the middle of the hot dog bun, ice cream on top of that, whipped cream on top of that, and chocolate frosting on top of that. And it looks positively delicious. Also looks a little messy because baseball food used to just be able to grab and go. This one's going to take some, you're going to have to like get a whole bunch of napkins for it or something. What else do they have? The Miami Marlins, not to be left behind. They will have a bacon-wrapped plantain.
Ooh. Ooh.
That's going to be on every restaurant's menu. I guess they have multiple restaurants inside the Marlins Stadium. I have not been to the new one. All I know is that they have that crazy-ass thing in the outfield out there that people either think is the ugliest thing in the world or they fall in love with. The Houston Astros, I've fallen in love with them. Their opportunity for people to really indulge at the baseball park as MLB season kicks off is a chicken waffle cone. And it is chicken, mashed, like chicken bites, like popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes, and a gravy drizzle in a cone.
Hell yeah.
That you walk away
with. That sounds delicious.
That sounds amazing.
And it's like 200 calories. Just an amazing snack. No, it's probably terrible for you, but it looks really, really delicious.
The Twins have the triple sausage sampler Bloody Mary.
A Bloody Mary that they have?
Uh-huh.
A lot of these places have full bars now, huh?
Yeah. And this one has three different kinds of sausage, as the name would suggest, andouille, bratwurst, and Polish on a skewer with some cheese cubes. The Twins also have this big, like, curd thing, like a poutine kind of thing that they serve.
See, everybody's doing this, the mix-up stuff. The Atlanta Braves have something called pig pickin', and that is pulled pork, deep-fried, smashed with mac and cheese, wrapped in a tortilla. Holy cow.
Oh, buddy.
It's not good for you.
You're going to eat good and also put a significant dent in your wallet. No.
Look at what the Braves also have, though.
I can't even imagine how expensive some of these are.
Check out the Burgerizza.
Oh, my God. It's like a burger / pizza.
It's a giant, like, I think, 20-ounce? Is that a big beef patty? 20-ounce beef patty? Yeah, it's huge.
It looks bigger than that.
Served between 2 8-inch pepperoni pizzas.
To her point, do you see how much it costs? Because some of this stuff must be pretty damn expensive.
There's not prices on any of these things.
Yeah, that's why. It's probably, a hot dog is like $8, isn't it? I'm guessing that these more expensive, more specialty items are like $18 or something.
I can't imagine they would be charging a lot for, at Safeco Field where the Mariners play, toasted grasshoppers.
That's the worst specialty item you could ever put on your menu.
And you know a bunch of people are going to buy them, though, just so they, especially if they're drunk already after pre-gaming, like, dude, I dare you to eat this $15 pack of toasted grasshoppers.
They're not going to do it.
They're cooked and then dusted with a chili lime salt.
They will do this. I will not. After trying the exact same thing on secret shows, I'm swearing off grasshoppers and crickets for the rest of my life. All done with those. Before we get to your dispatches, here is Dano. Go ahead, Dano.
I was just wanting to talk to you about the...
Oh, and I'm losing you, Dano. Are you there?
Sorry?
I'm losing you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay,
I'm
go
here.
Ahead.
Yeah, last March, woke up in the morning about 10:30, started feeling something in my elbow, thought it was gout. So like noon, I go to the doctor, get gout medicine, figured I'd be good for the rest of the day. And by 5:30 that afternoon, my arm was swollen. I was starting to blister. I was chilled to the bone. Later that night, we went to the emergency room, and it was the flesh-eating bacterial disease. I was in the hospital for a month.
Oh, my God.
He said
oh.
If I hadn't come in the same day, that I probably would have lost my arm. They had to do 3 surgeries on my arm to clear out all the crap. Also, they severed my lymphatic system, which takes your lymph fluid to your lymph nodes. So there's no cure for that. That is something I manually have to do.
Do they know how you got this, Dano?
I had a cut on my elbow. No, they don't really, but I'm thinking since it started my elbow, I had a cut on my elbow, and I might have been setting my elbow down at a bar drinking a beer.
Oh, my God.
And just came in contact with the bacteria. And an interesting fact is they told me that the only bacteria that causes the flesh eating is Streptococcus, like the strep throat. Any of the other bacteria, you know, you can have a serious issue, but it's not the flesh eating.
All right. Thank you, Dano. Thank you, I think.
Everybody loves sharing their nasty-ass stories.
Yeah, and they start telling you, and you're like, I'm interested. And you don't want to hear it anymore. Let's go to the dispatches. Maybe you'll swing us in another direction.
Probably not,
but we'll give it a shot. Here's Ian.
All right, so as I'm driving around, I got to put this out there. Can we figure out a way where every magnet that we put out there into Orlando and the surrounding areas, we can somehow make it take away one of these terrible Life stickers on the cars. Salt Life, Swamp Life, Ballet Life, Chicken Wing Life. Like, I know they've been around for a minute, but they're still making me crazy. So, I don't know. Let's make that happen.
I don't know if Chicken Wing Life is a thing. I thought the Salt Life thing was the S word and then life. S Life. For a long time, because the font is kind of weird. And I was like, man, a lot of people are very brazen about putting that on the back of their vehicles. And then I realized it's a surfer thing, which is why I had no idea. Here's Not Your Average Joe.
Yeah, United doesn't just have a bad rep when it comes to pets. Also, musical instruments. I can't remember if you guys talked about it before, but there's a video on YouTube called United Broke My Guitar. And it was a country music musician, if I remember, and he was traveling on United, paid the extra to have the guitar and for them to take extra care of it. I think he even put Fragile on the case. And as he's sitting on the tarmac, he sees them loading the plane, and they literally chuck his guitar across the tarmac, and I think it hits end over end.
God.
Needless to say, it was broken. He starts to complain. Of course, their reaction is wanting to kick him off the flight. But he wrote a song about it. Just look up on YouTube, United Broke My Guitar. It's actually a pretty tasteful song. So, yeah, United pretty much sucks.
Who was it? There was somebody who had a Stradivarius violin that ended up getting, I think, either destroyed or somehow broken on a flight. And a Stradivarius violin is way more than that country musician's guitar, I guarantee you that. Those are very rare and very, very expensive. So there, yeah, I guess, I mean, I don't know if it's United, but just overall, they're known for just tossing that stuff in there. A couple more real quick. Here's Boom Boom with the very first dispatch.
Is it weird that every time I read a Stephen Hawking quote that I subconsciously read it with the tone and cadence of his computer voice?
That is a little weird. R.I.P. Here's Pizza Peisenberg.
Yoski Chodes checking in quickly with a couple of things. First and foremost, my vote for Friday's live broadcast, St. Fritz's Day. That guy's patron saint of chin beards. Plus an amazing dude. Secondly, my beautiful and gorgeous Ecuadorian girlfriend hit me with a phrase that I consider to be probably cultural. I don't know if it's from Ecuador or if it's an overall Hispanic Latina thing. She told me one day I was like an 8. At first, I was extremely flattered and told her I consider myself a 7 at best, so thank you very much. Yeah. She then corrected me to explain that that means sort of more like, I take it to mean running around like a chicken with your head cut off, or, you know, in a never-ending loop. You know how an 8 is two continuous circles, or an infinity symbol is a never-ending thing. So that's kind of how I took that to mean. If I'm wrong, babe, please dispatch in and correct me.
Yeah, babe.
Adriana, I'm hammered, and I love you.
Get a room, please, the two of you, because she sent in a dispatch, too.
Did he just say I love you to her?
I think so. Boy, girlfriend and
Milestone.
I love you. All in one.
Give him a cute bag.
In response to Pizza Peisenberg's dispatch, what I told him was, te estás haciendo un ocho, which basically means that he was... like making everything complicated at the moment.
Probably.
Maybe he had a lot of stuff going on in his head, so many things he wanted to do, and he didn't know where to start or how to go about getting them done. So that phrase just basically means you are running around in circles or just going on and on, not knowing what to do.
All right, there you go. Two of them. I don't know what's happening there. I mean, I guess they're really doing it. Here's Johnny.
Hey, guys. Regional, little phrases are fun, but have you ever, did your parents ever either on purpose or inadvertently teach you incorrectly as you were growing up? For instance,
Ungen.
My parents always, they just kind of made a joke of it. They would always say, that was hilarious. Oh man, that's the most hilarious thing I ever saw. Well, in about third or fourth grade, somebody said, oh, that was hilarious. Sure enough, I got a serious argument with him. I'm saying, that's not how you say that word.
Oh, it's embarrassing.
You know, that's my personality. I always have to be right. But, yeah, my parents screwed me over on that one. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. My mom would say ungen instead of onion, and it was so far off that it was painful. And we'd go through the drive-thrus. I've told this story before, where she'd go to Burger King, and she'd go, I'll take this with no ungens. And they'd go, ungen? What the hell are you talking about? But otherwise, I think I watched enough TV, certainly listened to enough radio to just kind of figure out what the right words were along the way, or the right ways to say them, at least.
Right.
Except for Mimi. Mimi, a.k.a. Meme, how normal people say it. That one. But I heard somebody the other day who said they got caught up in the same trap And they thought it because words that are made up on the internet, you don't get to hear them.
I've heard people say may-may.
May-may, meme-me.
That's something that you think is worse than meme-me.
Neither one of them. Just bad. You're supposed to say meme, and I got it all wrong. Completely screwed that one up. Back in just a moment with the final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Status updates. Are you really complaining about traffic? That don't suck. Facebook.com/Real Radio. Orlando. Brought to you by Seacoast Bank. See why local is better by visiting seacoastbank.com. Better by all accounts since 1926. Member FDIC. He's smiling, and that alone should scare you. This is the News Junkie. I got news for you, and it's going down.
Before you come home and tell me you're not final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. He lies. I'm just going to do today I learned because we're way, way behind at the point at this point in time. But I do want to say, don't forget, Friday, the live broadcast at Elixir. Be out there early to make sure you get the limited edition magnets. There's less than 200 of them, so you want to snag those early. We'll have some other stuff out there, some shirts and stuff for people to win, as well as some other big prizes. We're going to do some fun things and moments that you'll probably want to live stream or have photos to put up. It happens that way every year. More details about the broadcast tomorrow, but just make sure you make time on Friday to come hang out with us at Elixir as we kick off St. Patrick's Day weekend, with a live broadcast at Elixir on Friday. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
Today I Learned for a Wednesday, March 14th. Too many things going through my brain at once. 2018, 7 stories from around the web and around the world and all that good stuff. Credit goes to Reddit.com and the Today I Learned section. C-Lane rocketing up to 84 points. Sabrina still stuck at 69 on purpose.
No.
And 4 more points up for grabs today. Here we go. Today I Learned on this television show here.
Cheers.
It's incorrect.
Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot is correct.
Oh, no, got that.
Mr. Robot actor Rami Malek, or however you say his name. He's the guy who's Mr. Robot, or the main character in it, at least. He has an identical twin named Sammy. Sammy works as a teacher, and throughout their life when they would prank people, like every other identical twin, they would occasionally swap places, they say.
Crazy.
Rami Malek from... Mr. Robot has a twin brother. The twin brother, I guess, I think at like Thanksgiving and stuff, that must not be as exciting. Like, I'm a teacher, and that's great, but not as exciting as some of the stuff Mr. Robot guy's got going on.
Didn't you know a baseball player, though, is like in a similar situation?
Yeah, Jared Saltalamacchia, who's a big-time baseball player, millionaire, and his brother, who's playing on like one of the local, you know, farm team kind of teams. It was a little bit... And I'm sure they were nice about it, but it must be tough. Today I learned to gain and maintain their weight. Sumo wrestlers eat a special diet of a stew called chankonabe.
Hey.
Chankonabe is so delicious that after retirement, many sumo wrestlers start their own chankonabe restaurants.
Hey.
I read this whole thing about sumo wrestlers, and they live in stables and about all the training that they go through. And
I wonder what those stables smell like.
Oh, they do. They have a scent, I'm sure. They're rock stars, though, in Japanese culture.
Oh.
The sumo wrestlers are very, very...
Chinkonabe looks very interesting.
It's tasty. Today I learned this show.
Jeopardy.
Jeopardy is correct. Jeopardy is a television show that C-Lane does watch on occasion. But way back in 1967, before he was born, a man appeared on the show who wanted to win just enough money to buy an engagement ring. He won that amount of money halfway through. Not wanting to lose it, he kept his mouth shut from there on. To prevent this from happening again, they changed the rules so that only the winner of Jeopardy takes home all the winnings. and the money, because people would just go with an idea in mind and how much money they wanted, get that much, and then stop talking for the rest of the Jeopardy game. Today, I learned North Korea has its own distinct basketball rules, such as a dunk getting, how many points does a dunk get in regular basketball, you guys know?
Two.
All right, very good. 3 points for a dunk in North Korea.
Oh, nice.
I'm not going to even ask how many points a three-pointer goes for.
Three.
We all know that.
3 points.
4 points in North Korea for a three-pointer.
Nice.
When it doesn't touch the rim, just a swish. -1 point for missing a free throw. And 8 points for a basket scored in the final 3 seconds, they say.
That's kind of fun, though.
Yeah, the final 3 seconds thing would make things way more exciting. Yeah.
Also, if you lose, you die by gunfire.
Yeah, that's out there, too, in the North Korean version. Today, I learned this group right here.
That's
Jackson 5 is correct. The Jackson 5 received only 2.8% royalties from Motown, so they got pissed off about this. Signed a deal with Epic Records for 20% royalties. After being sued for breach of contract, Motown allowed the group to leave, but they were no longer allowed to be the Jackson 5. From then on out, they were the Jacksons. And they had to change it at that point in time, which must have been kind of odd, but people kind of knew who they were.
It's better than the Jacks.
Today, I learned you guys are going to love this one. Get ready. Wild pufferfish, all right? Wild pufferfish are poisonous.
Real radio, what's your name?
Because they eat something that has a neurotoxin called tetrodotoxin. But ones that you raise yourself in an aquarium are not toxic and not poisonous. They don't have the same poison.
Hmm? Yeah. What?
Here we go. Today I learned this band right here.
Jackson 5.
Tough one. I'll give you a hint. They're from Sweden.
Hooked on a feeling.
And the second word in the two-word name is Swede. The first word is blue.
Blue Swede.
Blue Swede. The band Blue Swede, a play on Blue Suede in an attempt to connect with Americans. This was the very first number one American hit by a Swedish band ever. Here it is. It's a very catchy song, you know. Also a cover song. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. We're back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by A Corporate Time with Tom and Dan, all right here on Real Radio.